The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Tuesday, January 7th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, a 6.4 magnitude earthquake struck Puerto Rico before dawn on Tuesday, the largest in the series of quakes that have struck the U.S. territory in recent days and caused heavy damage in some areas. Puerto Rico's power authority said on Twitter that one of the country's main power plants, which sits near the epicenter, had been damaged, but officials expect to restore power to the island later Tuesday. The U.S. Geological Survey said the quake hit at about 4:24 a.m. just south of the island, at a shallow depth of 10 kilometers. It initially gave a magnitude of 6.6, but later adjusted it to the 6.4. It said that the quake was followed by a string of aftershocks from 5.6 to 4.5 in magnitude. A tsunami alert was issued initially issued for Puerto Rico and the U.S. Virgin Islands, but that was later canceled.
And that's a pretty substantial activity, you know, especially, and you just don't think of Puerto Rico that way.
Yeah.
Their infrastructure is sort of battered from all the hurricanes.
Yeah.
It's not good.
Communications are down for much of the island, so there's not an official report yet on damage or injuries. During Mayor Jim Kenney's second term inauguration speech Monday, he announced an expansion of the city's street sweeping pilot program to every neighborhood and commercial corridor by the year 2023. And for cleaner streets, we will continue to ramp up dumping enforcement and build on our successful sweeping pilot program by expanding the street cleaning to every neighborhood and commercial corridor by the year 2023. Yes, you heard that right, he said. Every neighborhood, which will require folks to move their cars. The city expects to have a report on the success of the street sweeping pilot program next month. The mayor's office said $21.5 million is earmarked for this over a five-year plan, including just over $4 million worth in the current budget. The money will likely be used to buy more street sweeper trucks and hire additional cleaning crews. The Pennsylvania State Police are investigating after someone reportedly released bed bugs inside a Walmart store in Washington Township. This is in Erie County.
Yeah.
A manager at the Walmart found a closed pill bottle that had live bugs inside tucked in a boy's jacket. The manager called police to report the incident and contacted Ecolab. An Ecolab employee observed bed bugs actively crawling around the men's fitting room. Yeah. A second closed pill bottle containing several dead bugs was found by a store employee on the floor in the men's department.
Is this the boy equivalent of a VSCO girl? Is this kind of...
I don't think so, no.
Bed bug boy?
Bed bugs are small, flat, parasitic insects that feed solely on the blood of people and animals while they sleep, according to the CDC. They are reddish brown and roughly the size of an apple seed. Most bed bugs bites are painless at first, but later turn into itchy welts. Getting rid of bed bugs from a home or business can be extremely difficult and expensive. State police are investigating. The Walmart store said that they are working with the pest control company. This isn't the first report of bed bugs inside a Walmart store. Last February, a woman in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, reported finding a bed bug in the store. There was also a similar report in Phoenix in 2016.
So that report said that they're about the size of an apple seed.
Yeah.
That's a lot bigger than I thought.
That's exactly what I thought, Preston.
They
were
barely visible to the naked eye.
Well, and that,
in fact, they look like, when you see pictures of them, it more look like dirt than, you know, than seeds.
Yeah, I feel like that's not correct. And they're flat, too. So you're thinking the apple seed, you know, has a little bit of depth to
it. Yeah, an apple seed, I would say, that's about the size of a tick, maybe. You know, something like that. As opposed to a bed bug, because ticks you can see pretty well. They hide on you pretty awesomely.
So an ear rig is about the size of a green bean, and a daddy long legs is about the size of a small muffin, correct?
The FDA should release a bug-to-food correlation chart.
Wait, speaking of bugs, this is completely separate from what we're talking about, but I think I forgot to tell you this. You know, we talked about the praying mantis sack inside the Christmas trees, and that's what people have to watch out for.
Yeah.
My brother and his wife, she came downstairs one morning, and she said about 30 to 40 baby praying mantis crawling all over her ceiling and windowsill.
I would lose it.
Oh, they immediately took the tree. We drove by later in the day, and the tree was already out to the trash.
So what you need to know is, Casey, as much as you hate sharks, Preston and I feel that way about
praying mantises.
Why? Yes.
Because I'll tell you why.
They don't kill you.
Please explain.
In the movie, okay, so here's an idea. In the movie The Clone Wars, they have a big battle royale with all these creatures. There's one that's kind of gigantic and praying mantis-ish.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
I just see those things as a tiny version of that monster. Well, it freaks me out.
The photo, by the way, which we saw, it's an actual photo. A praying mantis had snatched a small bird out of the air.
That's right.
And they're just machines. I don't know what it is. There's no emotion. There's no nothing. There it is.
Look, we have the scene of that creature.
Yeah.
From Phantom Menace, and that reminds me of.
I'd rather have the feline thing coming after me.
I got it. I think they're really cool. I also read recently that one of the only things that kills the Chinese lantern flies. That the praying mantises, one of the benefits of the praying mantises is that they actually take, they have no natural predator.
You know what, Preston? Yeah. I'm kind of liking those lantern flies.
They are pretty.
They're pretty.
They're prettier.
Definitely. Wow.
No. Yeah.
They are disgusting. Yeah, so they had to get rid of their Christmas tree immediately. And, you know, of course, talks for next year is fake tree.
Yeah. That's freaky, man. Wow.
All right, let's do sports this morning. The Sixers ended their losing streak by beating the Oklahoma City Thunder last night in South Philly.
All right.
Joel Embiid played through a dislocated finger and scored 18 points. Ben Simmons added 17 points and 15 rebounds, and the Sixers won 120 to 113. They're off until Thursday night when they'll have another game at home, this time against the Boston Celtics. Tip-off is scheduled for 7 o'clock. The Flyers will end their six-game road trip with a game in Carolina tonight against the Hurricanes. The Flyers are 1-4 on the trip so far as they struggle away from the home ice. Has continued. Defenseman Justin Braun, who left Saturday's game in Arizona in the third period, will not be in the lineup tonight for the foreseeable future. Braun tweaked his groin and will likely be out until after the All-Star break, which is at the end
of
the month.
Hold on. Nick, take that off the goddamn screen.
What is it?
It's Joel Embiid's finger.
You see it, Kat?
Oh, my God.
Steve, 90 degrees.
It like a crazy straw.
90 degrees
He went back in the game.
He went back in and played.
Take it off
God.
The All monitor. Right. Oh, I don't want to see it. Put up a picture of a praying mantis. I'd rather look at that.
The puck drops for the Flyers tonight at 7 o'clock, and the Cleveland Browns have formally requested permission from the Eagles to interview defensive coordinator Jim Schwartz for their head coaching job. NFL teams usually allow their coordinators who are under contract to interview. Schwartz has been Doug Peterson's only defensive coordinator, and the Eagles have allowed the seventh fewest points in the NFL during the last 4 years. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you very much, Kathy. And a Tuesday. Yes, it is indeed. And you know what? We have Tattoo Tuesday happening again.
So yes, we do.
Your chance to win a Preston and Steve tattoo from our friends at world famous Philadelphia Eddie's is underway. So text the word tattoo, T-A-T-T-O-O, to 39333. And at some point, we'll draw a random winner, and they're going to head to 621 South 4th Street, which is where Philadelphia Eddie's is in South Philly, and get tattooed by the area's top tattoo artist. Maybe Don Juan will do that. And you can see his work on Instagram at Don Juan Tattoos. Or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com.
Tattoo convention is coming back to Philadelphia next weekend, man.
I saw an ad for that, yeah.
Yep.
At the Pennsylvania Convention Center?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
that's the one in the city. Yeah.
It's huge. Are we getting anyone in for there? There's superstars come in for that one, right?
The people that are all in like Ink Masters and stuff like that, they'll all be there.
Yeah, okay.
You know, like the last like winners and stuff like that, they're all going to be there. And then they have the sideshow stuff, and so we'll have some sort of representation here in our studio.
I got it.
All right, you can get a tattoo today. Text the word tattoo, and let's see if you can win. We also have other ways for you to win this morning. We have the Easy Money Contest. We got it underway yesterday. We're doing it again today. 8 a.m. is your first chance. It happens 5 times today. That's Monday through Friday for the next several weeks. Details at WMMR.com. I'll give you the full skinny on it when we get up to 8 o'clock to reveal the information. And then at 9:30, we have a chance for you to win $500. Hopefully you watched the Dr. Oz show yesterday. It's what we call in the business a watch and win.
All right, that's what Annabelle does.
That's right. You watch the show, and then we ask a question about it, and it's an easy way to win $500. So we'll do that around 9:30, so stay tuned. We have, as far as guests go, actor Joe Mantegna, who's going to be getting in touch with us from Criminal Minds. Joe calls us, it seems like, every year now.
Yeah. Spugazza Zagatini.
Is that him?
That's him, yeah.
Fazagaboo. I love that guy. So we'll talk to Joe later on this morning. Those things and more are taking place. So hopefully you'll stick with us through the course of the program today. Have your chance to win some stuff. Hang out. We'll have a good time. We'll return in a moment, and I'm going to roll out some entertainment stories for you, a stupid question with some stuff to win, and more. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Thoughts and prayers to Casey, who had to run to the toilet.
Oh, you made it back.
Yeah. Well, honestly, I thought this was going to be a disaster.
So did I.
I gotta go. He was like, I have to go.
I have to go to the bathroom.
It was a fart.
Oh.
I got faked out.
It was just gurgling pretty
yeah,
rough.
Yeah, okay. I faked out, man.
I got the old bait and switch, right?
Mm-hmm. Normal people just keep that to themselves. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but normal people don't have to, you know, run a radio program over here.
No,
so, like, if I,
if
I just disappear, Kath.
Yeah, he does need to tell us.
Like for example, if you're in, like, a cubicles, you could just get up and walk away without announcing it. But here, the impact will be on air. We won't. Your presence will be sadly missed.
Disagree all you want, Kath.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Let's say you're, you know, you're
a surgeon.
You're a surgeon, or I was going to say a captain on a ship or something like that.
And you're docking.
You've got to.
You run away.
You got to tell everybody. People are going to know.
So you think sometimes the surgeon goes, oh, God, I got to go.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You kidding me?
You've never heard of people dying on the table?
So he's like a surgeon.
That's what happens.
Kind of like a surgeon.
Okay.
For the very first time.
Yeah. Got it. Okay. It's clear now.
We're going to do today's stupid question. If this wasn't dumb enough, and now we give you this with a chance to win a 4-pack of tickets for the Philly Home Show, which is coming up this weekend and next weekend. So this has to do with barber poles. What do the red and white stripes, red and white stripes on a barber's pole represent? 215-263-WMMR. I may have asked this question before.
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. Have I?
Yes.
Okay.
Over the course of
day. Right. Yeah, but
if you hear a question that I've asked before, don't bust my balls about it. Yeah. It happens every now and then. I did. It's happened before, and I'm like, really? I'm sorry. It's early in the morning.
And not only that, you have the edge now. You know the answer.
Yeah, right?
So just celebrate it.
All right, call now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'm going to go through some birthdays today. Tuesday, November 7th, it's Nicolas Cage's birthday today. Nicolas Cage turns 56 just yesterday, and it's actually been on a couple of times the past week or so. Honeymoon in Vegas was on.
I love that movie.
I flipped over in the middle of it and just started watching it for a while.
And he's really funny in it.
He's very, very funny in it.
With the skydiving Elvises and all that stuff.
It's the best. And when he's just reached the end of his rope and he's doing his Nicolas Cage freakouts.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
He does a good slow burn.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. So he's 56 today. David Caruso of CSI Miami.
Mob hit, Hershey. Yes, and it's time to head back.
I'm hauling ass.
The one-liners.
Yes, Frank. A dead body can have that effect on you.
I mean...
Famous for being famous. All eyes trained on her every move.
All except her last one.
With the sunglasses.
It's just too much.
You know where they parody that well is in Forgetting Sarah Marshall.
Yeah.
The TV show that she's on. They show clips of it. And I think it's
Billy Baldwin.
Billy Baldwin who plays that character and looks like he'll be somebody's bitch. But he's 64 today. Katie Couric, the news anchor, is 63.
Always liked
her.
Does
she do anything?
Yeah. She has... She does some. She was on Yahoo News, and then she was doing some.
Yeah,
she has her own channel or something.
Okay,
but for a while she was hosting the CBS Evening News.
Then you have Dustin Diamond. Is turning 43 years old today.
He of the sex tape fame.
I actually have a news story coming up in this entertainment report about the Saved by the Bell reboot. Dustin's not in it, but some other cast members are, and I'll get to that a little bit later on.
I wonder if he broke that bridge.
Yeah, I don't know. So he's 43 today. Jan Wenner, the founder and publisher of Rolling Stone magazine, is 74. Is he going to retire? Wasn't there a rumor?
There
of that
were rumors,
or something like that.
There have been rumors like that before.
Yeah.
There are people in the music industry that despise him, and there are people that love him. But
I rewatched Almost Famous not that long ago, and
he's depicted in that.
He's featured in. He actually has a small cameo. He's a guy in a cab towards the end of the movie when she leaves the restaurant and runs out, and then he has to go see all the people in the cab. He's one of the guys in that cab, but clearly Cameron Crowe holds him up at a level that's really high.
Well, they gave Cameron Crowe that gig that allowed him to. So Cameron Crowe is the guy, basically the kid in Almost Famous is Cameron Crowe who toured with Zeppelin, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've always kind of had a. I don't really like the guy too much. He's kind of
he's pompous. He's beyond all pompous.
Yes. There's a snobby look about music that I just, you know, I don't know.
Well, that's Bon Jovi's issue and was with them. You know, if people enjoy it, you know, but he couldn't even see a lot of times. And I agree with you in reviews or at least his approach. It seemed like he couldn't let people have something that they enjoyed. He had to crap all over it.
Yeah, and listen, I know music is subjective.
It is.
You like what you like, and you don't like what you don't like. But I mean, he really, you know, there were the darlings of the music reviewers, or what's the word I'm looking for? Not reviewer, but
critic.
Yeah, critics.
Yeah.
You know, a la Bob Dylan, and listen, I understand genius songwriter and so on and so forth. But there are some that they just really. Really just
and I disagree
slobbered all over that I'm like, but you're really avoiding some of this other great music too and crapping on it and I'm you know,
no, whatever. I agree. If you go through a lot of the earlier Rolling Stones stuff, I mean, honestly, they lavished praise on Yoko Ono stuff and the Plastic Ono Band. Come on.
Agreed. Yeah. So he's 74 today. Kenny Loggins. I have a guilty pleasure with Kenny Loggins.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's actually, if you look beyond just, obviously, this gigantic hit song, the dude has a great voice. And you go back to the Loggins and Messina stuff.
I loved Danny's song,
Danny's
right?
Danny's song is...
one of the best.
Outstanding.
Beautiful song.
Even though we ain't got money, I'm so in love with you, honey. Everything will bring a chain of love. I think we sing that every year.
How can you not?
Is that him?
No.
No.
It's not him.
No, who is that?
That's Lindsey Buckingham.
Oh, you know what I'm thinking
of? I'm all right. Take vacation.
I'm thinking of Caddyshack.
I'm all right.
I'm all right. But even in that Caddyshack song, if you listen to the actual vocal performances of it, just outside of the novelty of the song... he's hitting crazy notes and going all over the place. Guy's a really talented vocalist.
But even though he ain't got money.
He's so in love with you, honey. He's 72 today. Dougie Doug.
Ah.
Comedian and actor. And he was on Cosby, which was this, not the, it was the follow-up.
It was usually me on top.
Right.
Oh, my God. Wow.
Cosby was the second run as that character, right?
Right.
Was it the same character?
No.
Cliff Huxtable?
No. I mean, it was same character, but it wasn't the same character.
So not by name.
In the second series, he played more like an Archie Bunker type.
He was there still married to Felicia Rashad.
Yes, he was.
And it was still Bill Cosby.
Yes, he was.
But
In Philly.
It wasn't Cliff Huxtable.
It was it was pretty horrible. Mm-hmm. Though Madeline Kahn was on that second show, which was pretty good.
She was, yeah.
Well, I thought you were making a joke, and when you said Madeline Kahn... I thought you were saying Madeleine Albright. And I'm like, that's a...
Madeleine Albright
was
on Cosby. I did not know that. Played her mistress.
Absolutely, yes.
His mistress. So Dougie Doug is 50. Linda Kozlowski from the Crocodile Dundee movies.
I always thought she was pretty hot.
Is 62. I thought
especially in the first one.
Attractive, too. Yeah, she was in... You saw her boobs in Dragon Slayer, right?
At the industry station.
No. She gets her in the bathtub.
Side
shot.
There's also a thong shot of her when they're in Australia and she's bent over to go get water.
Yeah.
And the croc comes out and grabs her canteen.
Yeah, the croc's gonna grab you
by the canteen.
By the canteen. Scared to your labia.
I don't remember the boob part, but maybe.
See, so here's their side boob. I don't either, Preston. I think they were sort of rated like PG and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Paul Hogan went on to marry her.
Yeah, that's correct.
And then they got divorced.
Yes. She is...
She'll let the croc eat her.
She's 62. He's much older than her then because he's like in his 80s, I believe. And then the last birthday I have on this list is Jeremy Renner. Oh, yeah. The Avengers.
So good.
Yeah. Hurt Locker, The Town. He's done actually a load of movies.
The Town has been running on HBO lately.
A lot.
I've watched it.
A very good movie.
Yeah.
And Ben Affleck directed it as well. Have you ever seen it, Preston?
I have not, no.
It's a really good...
And he's great.
Movie. Yeah.
Jeremy Renner's... I mean, obviously, Ben Affleck is the main focus of the movie, but... You know, Jeremy's like his old friend growing up, and they rob banks and armored cars together, and he plays like a...
It's good. You know,
kind of like a scuzzy guy.
The what's the movie he did? And I can't, for some reason, can never remember the title of it. It's with Elizabeth Olsen, and he is the...
I know, it's all one shot?
No. It takes place on an Indian reservation.
Oh.
And there's a murder. It's excellent. Anyway, Nick, if you can do it a little quickly.
Wind River?
That's it.
Yeah,
it's really good.
Yeah.
He is turning 49 years old today, so happy birthday to Mr. Jeremy Renner. All right, we'll see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What do red and white stripes on a barber's pole represent? 215-263-WMMR. Let's go to Adil. Is that your name?
That is, yep.
All right. Adil, do me a favor. Tell me what the red and white stripes on a barber pole represent.
It's for bandages treating wounds of soldiers with blood.
Yeah, blood and bandages, correct. Hang on a second.
See, I didn't know that. So if you asked that question already, I didn't remember.
Thank you. Yes, because they initially barbers did surgery
yes.
way back when. So you are correct, Adil. Hang on. We're going to get your information, and we are going to give you... 4-pack tickets for the Philly Home Show, January 10th through the 12th and 17th through the 19th. Pennsylvania Convention Center. Visit PhillyHomeShow.com for tickets, and you can meet Kathy at the show. She'll be there this Saturday between 4 and 6 p.m. and vote for her table.
Yes, that's right. It's actually a office space.
It's a whole office space.
And
okay, so you did a
table
last year.
I did table last year. Yeah, this year is an office space. And, okay. So I went, picked out all the items. So I'm interested to see how it all comes together. So, come visit Saturday.
Harvey Weinstein, it got underway. He was charged in L.A. with sexually assaulting two women. The charges include raping one woman, sexually assaulting another in separate incidents on two consecutive days in February 2013. The district attorney, Jackie Lacey, said, "We believe the evidence will show that the defendant used his power and influence to gain access to his victims and then commit violent crimes against them," adding that prosecutors were recommending bail be set at $5 million. If convicted as charged, he faces up to 28 years in state prison.
That's pretty wild. So that's just one in a whole series of charges against him from other places. There's still stuff overseas. And the New York trial that's going on, it's crazy.
He's denied all accusations of non-consensual sexual activity. News of the charges come hours after Rose McGowan, Rosanna Arquette, and other famous women who have accused Weinstein of misconduct rallied outside a New York City courthouse where he arrived for his first day of trial. McGowan said, "Dear Harvey, no matter what lies you tell yourself, you did this. Today, Lady Justice is staring down a superior predator. You brought this upon yourself by hurting so many. You have only yourself to blame. I came here today to see this through. We are free, we are beautiful, we are strong, and you will never take this from us," she said. "Survivors will never give up." She continued to say, "How we get the courage is because living in silence is a death sentence to your soul, because when you get killed by being raped, you carry around that dead person inside of you until you find a way to birth it. For me, birthing that was through using my voice." The courthouse hobbling over a walker after reported back surgery. As you were saying, all these guys end up, by the time they get to trial, something has happened. They have some affliction.
Don't you sort of reflexively just not believe it when they do it?
I've
seen it too much.
Yep.
It's a sympathy move.
I mean, what kind of back surgery? Because a lot of times when you have back surgery, court date or not, you're not supposed to leave your bed or the comfort of your house.
I don't know the details.
Nah. Well, he's such a trooper.
He is facing charges of raping a woman in Manhattan in a Manhattan hotel in 2013, a forcible sex act on another in 2006. Jury selection begins today, but it's going to take a while for it to be done. Well, is she coming out of a vagina? That's the question.
Mm.
Twitter is breathing into a paper bag over the poster for Gwyneth Paltrow's show, The Goop Lab. Which is set to hit up Netflix. I have the picture here.
Yeah, it sort of does look that way.
For you guys in the studio to see.
Yeah.
So it's not graphic by any sense, but just the shape behind her has that, You know,
what's that? What's that little bean thing above her head there, Preston?
That's just that. That's it's a hood.
You can ignore
it's shades of pink as well. I mean,
yeah, no, she's
so. Here's how she describes the show. The Goop
Lab. Wow, this vagina's big.
The Goop Lab explores the universal questions we inherently are curious about. We took the open-minded approach that we've cultivated at Goop and applied the a different visual lens with Netflix. In the process, we found new ways to answer this. How do we make the most of our lives? Netflix released the first trailer for the 6-episode shows. Which, no surprise, appears to focus on sex, energy healing, and psychedelic drugs.
Wow.
The streamer also released the official poster, and that led to people commenting along the lines of, help, I'm stuck in a vagina that has been treated to a variety of gross pseudoscientific experiments.
That's a big criticism of the whole Goop culture, is that a lot of the stuff that they proffer on the website, that they have, say, has medicinal benefits, none of it's been vetted,
right?
You know, and that it's as he says, like a pseudoscience. Yeah. However,
holistic.
Your best advertisement for Goop and the products and all that stuff is the way Gwyneth Paltrow looks lately.
Yeah.
She looks terrific.
I agree. Jennifer Aniston knows that social media is obsessed with the possibility that she and Brad Pitt will rekindle their romance. They got divorced in 2005. They both have been married since. Angelina Jolie, Justin Theroux, respectively. To kick things off, Pitt told Entertainment Tonight that he was looking forward into running into her. He said, I'll run into Jen. She's a good friend. I guess they were talking about at the Golden Globes.
You know, President, there is a great Rupert Holmes song that reminds me of this situation.
Oh,
where these people realize that they were always meant for each other.
Yes.
And what is the name of that?
How does that thing go? It's something like...
It's not Leader of the Man. Like
there we go.
Is that it?
Rupert Holmes, that's it. Yes. Escape, actually, is the title of that song.
Escape, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then, when he took the stage to accept an award for his work on Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, he joked about how everyone's obsessed with his dating life, and a camera person panned to Jennifer Aniston, who was laughing at the time. Eagle-eyed fans noticed Aniston liking shots of Pitt taken that night. Meanwhile,
they've got to be doing it.
Pitt knows everyone is obsessed with his love life. He told Marc Maron on his podcast, I'm just like trash mag fodder. I know, because of my disaster of a personal life, probably. So,
you know, he's aware. I really like him. I think that he is he's self-deprecating. I haven't seen the movie yet, Casey. I just saw a little bit of it. But I like how he is on screen. Like,
yeah.
World War Z and other movies that, you know, in 12 Years a Slave, which he produced, it was really good. I think he got overshadowed, but he's really good.
I've not seen the movie, but a friend of mine, who will remain unnamed on this radio program, gave away a major, major plot point to the film.
Really?
After I told him I hadn't seen it.
Well, that's a dick move.
I know.
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. It was nobody in this room.
Oh, you said on this program.
No, he's revealing on this program.
I'm revealing on this program, but I'm going to remain unnamed. And I'm like, well, dude, I haven't seen the movie. I told you that. Oh, sorry, man. God. I'll tell you what it is off air.
All right.
What I found out.
In Once Upon a Time in Hollywood?
Yeah.
He gave you the end of the movie?
Yeah.
Like, oh, my God.
Like, here, I'll write it down.
Tell me who it is so I can out this a-hole.
Hang
Harvey
on
Weinstein. There you go.
Kind of like that.
Right.
I'm writing down what the plot point is. I don't want to give it out on the air. So that this doesn't happen.
Okay.
Right?
I'm not saying anything.
All right, anyway.
Okay. All right.
So, nonetheless, I still... Now I don't want to see the movie.
They blew up the Death Star.
Oh, my God, at the end?
Yes. You said it out loud.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well.
All right, anyway. I'm bringing this up, Casey, for you and Kathy, because I know we follow this person on social media. A Facebook fundraiser by Australian comedian Celeste Barber has raised over $30 million for New South Wales volunteer firefighters, providing them with some much-needed help during Australia's bushfire crisis.
Man, this is great. But now she's got like 6.5 million followers on Instagram. And we, Press, you and I, we got in on the ground floor.
We were there from the beginning, yes.
We almost had her in, right?
She does. Yeah, she came through the area, but she couldn't make it by. She does these parodies of models. She's an average-looking, average-sized person. Maybe it's a smidge overweight. And these models do these, you know, really pompous videos.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
She lampoons them. She parodies them.
So funny.
In a really, really funny way. And we just find it, you know, laugh out loud funny.
And she's turned into this huge sensation, specifically in Australia, but around the world as well. Managed to raise $30 million. That's
amazing.
She launched a fundraiser on January 3rd, just a few days ago.
Wow.
And that's how quickly she got $30 million. More than 800,000 people from across the world donated, including people from the U.S., U.K., Canada, Denmark, Portugal, Greece, and Germany. So I thought that was pretty cool. All right, a $1 million DraftKings fantasy football contest win this past weekend by a woman named Jade Roper Tolbert, a former contestant on The Bachelor.
I love you.
Is being investigated after some accused her and her husband of cheating.
How?
Cheater! Roper Tolbert is married to Tanner Tolbert, known to be a high-volume daily fantasy player. And under the rules of the event, contestants could only submit a certain number of entries. But some players are alleging that the Tolberts coordinated their entries to get around the limit.
So
DraftKings said that they're looking into the accusation, which the Tolberts deny.
I looked into this, and I was trying to figure out what exactly it was that they had done wrong, other than they both maxed out the amount that they could participate in the game, but they coordinated.
Yeah.
So to me, this sort of sounded like, unless there's anything really glaringly underhanded, this to me seems like counting cards.
Maybe they worked the system.
Yeah.
So they'll have to find out if it falls with under the rules that are specific about what you can and can't do as far as DraftKings and and everything. So, but they won $1 million contest.
Yeah.
So we'll see where this ends up going. But they're looking into it. But a lot of people who play it are saying that they cheated. So we'll see what the results are. Meghan Markle and Prince Harry are back from their six-week holiday break. On Monday, the pair announced their first royal engagement of 2020, which kicks off today when they visit the Canada House in London. The Duke and Duchess of Sussex are set to meet with Janice Charette, High Commissioner.
We went to Wallace World.
Wallace World. The moose should have told you.
The moose should have informed you of the temporary closure.
High Commissioner in Canada is Janice Charette. And
why don't you forget the moose for a moment?
To the UK as well as staff. To thank them for the warm Canadian hospitality and support they received during their recent stay in Canada. While there, they will visit the Canada Gallery to view the special exhibition by Indigenous Canadian artist Skawinati.
Skawinati?
Yeah. And meet members of the High Commission.
Can you do the Fandango?
Wait, what is that from?
Scaramouche. Yeah, it's Bohemian Scaramouche.
Thank you.
And they're going to visit the birthplace of Gordon Lightfoot, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. Everybody does.
Yeah, that's kind of expected.
It's what you do. And also, they work in a range of sectors supporting the partnership between Canada and the UK.
His song celebrating the life of Ella Fitzgerald is one of my most favorite songs.
Your Highness, that's incorrect information.
Excuse me?
It's about a ship. Yes. On New Year's Day, they helped a young couple trying to take a selfie. Listen to this. This is according to Asmina Kantoritz, who said, "We've been doing this hike on New Year's Day for the past 2 years. We took a little picnic out, and we were finishing up and trying to get some selfies with a nice backdrop when a woman came up to us and asked if we wanted her to take our photo. She said she didn't realize who was helping her until she did the double take. She said, I'm a Suits fan. And I first noticed Abigail, and then I looked up and I realized it was Meghan taking the photo, and I looked back at the group and realized that Prince Harry was there, too. They were getting a photo taken by a princess.
So was there any security around them? Or
I don't know.
Were they just traipsing through the woods by themselves?
They probably had a couple of people in tow with them, I assume.
Maybe they were dressed as trees and stuff.
Maybe.
Camouflage.
I don't really know. Wow. So that's
six guys in ghillie suits, Preston.
That's a pretty cool little keepsake.
But they're wearing ties.
Right. Right. Let's see here. Joey King posed with her co-star, Patricia Arquette, after Arquette snagged a Golden Globe for her role in The Act and ended up getting more than she bargained for. She shared on social media, Patricia Arquette accidentally hit me in the head with her Golden Globe.
Jesus. She got a shiner on her forehead.
Yeah, she did. She got a nice little bump there. That sentence will give me bragging rights for the rest of my life, she said, and she will also bear the bruises. So
you should have seen her Rosanna Arquette's outfit. I mean, she was spilling out of it.
Yeah.
Really? There was a shot of her with Salma Hayek.
It almost looked like a prosthetic, Steve. Salma, it looks like she's got big boobs, and it's like, all right, this is the outfit for Salma Hayek, but for Arquette? Didn't it look like it was
she's always been busty, but it was a boobalanche.
Yeah, and she got bustier after she put on weight.
I love that term. Really.
Boobalanche.
Sounds like a dance.
Yeah.
Do the boobalanche. All right. Paris Hilton is dating entrepreneur Carter Riem. E! Reports 38-year-old Lovebirds stepped out for the first time after the 2020 Golden Globes, attending the In Style and Warner Brothers bash at the Beverly Hilton Hotel. So I don't know much about this guy, but apparently she's got a boyfriend. Speaking of that, Kate Beckinsale, who is 46, has moved on, of course, from Pete Davidson. That was a while back. And now moved on to his friend, Machine Gun Kelly.
Machine Gun Kelly's his best friend.
Who is 29.
Oh, man, this could cause issues.
Yeah. Davidson.
She likes him young, doesn't she?
She does. And Davidson's with Kia Gerber. Davidson is 26. Kia Gerber's 18, by the way. So they're all shooting low, I guess. But, that's
good
word.
For Kate Beckinsale.
Yeah.
She looks great.
Sarah Hyland had fangirled over Joaquin Phoenix at the Golden Globes, explaining on Instagram that she almost bowed in his presence.
She did.
She said, "My genuine reaction when I realized I was standing next to Joaquin Phoenix on the red carpet, I bowed. Then he bowed. It was a thing. I'm not crying. You are," she says. So they had a little moment like that. And I guess she was, even the stars. Get a little starstruck from
absolutely.
Time to time.
I like to see that. It keeps them real. And really, Preston, if you stop and think about it, they're just like us.
They're just like us. Hey, the transgender champions breakout, Josie Tota, has joined the Saved by the Bell reboot. This is what I was telling you about earlier.
Okay.
Also featuring original stars. I did not know this. Mario Lopez and Elizabeth Berkley are going to be
cool.
On that. That's very cool. The series is expected to drop this year on NBC Universal's forthcoming streamer, Peacock.
I'm so excited.
She's got to be.
I'm so excited.
But she's got to be, I think, a little
scared.
Yeah.
I don't think so. Tota will star as Lexi, a beautiful cheerleader who is admired and feared. Peacock will also feature a Battlestar Galactica reboot for Mr. Robard's Sam Ismail. So there's another thing. Another thing.
There's another thing you're going to watch.
Jesus. FX on Hulu made its official bow Sunday night in a spot during the Golden Globes live broadcast.
So I have FX on Hulu, on CBS, on Showtime.
Oh, yeah. It's the same thing.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I went on Hulu over the weekend, and Hulu has most of the networks on it.
Yes.
Okay.
So it used to be predominantly NBC stuff, right?
Yes. Maybe. Yeah. Yeah. But I can watch all of my, I missed some of the beginning of that Jeopardy special from last week.
Right.
I don't have the ABC app, but I have the Hulu app. So I went through the Hulu app to get to the ABC.
I'm going to bank this shot thing. Off Hulu.
Seriously.
ABC.
It's crazy.
You got to call your shot.
Call your shots. Yeah. Yeah. Hulu in the side pocket. Hulu, I actually end up on. Fairly often. Netflix, Hulu, and I actually have been doing a lot of Disney Plus with The Mandalorian and other stuff.
I forget what is on what now.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm like,
you have to write it down.
That's not on Prime. That's on Hulu. But that one's on Netflix and blah, blah, blah. I bounce all over the place.
That's why, honestly, the services are smart now. They're having their open page menu sort of be an amalgamation of everything you're watching currently, so you don't have to keep trying to figure that crap out.
FX unveiled the first trailer featuring the partnership toward the end of the show, highlighting shows that will begin to stream on Hulu, including the Cate Blanchett-led Mrs. America, Alex Garland's Devs, and a teacher. Oh, no, Devs, a teacher. Sorry, Dev, comma, a teacher.
And I'm going to watch a teacher tonight.
And the Jeff Bridges starring The Old Man. FX on Hulu drops in March. There's
a lot of good stuff.
I know.
A tremendous amount. But at this point, as we said before, the last time we were saying this about recommending shows is almost useless at this point.
Yeah.
Because there's...
I know.
Everyone's locked into what they're watching and that's it. Just discover shows on your own because...
Yeah.
Chances are you can't wedge another show into what you're watching.
Is anybody watching Messiah on Netflix yet?
No.
No, but it keeps suggesting it to me.
I started. I'm almost done.
Yeah. No.
I like it that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have 12 I could recommend to you.
It's to the point now where I don't even want to recommend things to people.
No.
Because you get this, oh, yeah, okay, well, okay, I'll try and check
that out.
You're
not going to watch
it. You know, I've friends that I know would like something that I'm watching, and I've said it to them, and I'm like, this speaks directly to you, and I get this lukewarm response of, oh, okay. It's like, just because it's overwhelming, so I almost don't even want to recommend it.
Be that way.
You have to anymore. Wait until somebody's looking for something. Like, I'll filter through shows, and then I'm like, okay, now I need something. You know what I mean? And then that's, you think back. I'm like, wait, what did Preston tell me to watch?
I need to make a physical list of these just to keep them in track.
Yeah.
Just, you know, keep my mind fresh.
If only there was some sort of paper guide that had the show.
That could be mailed immediately. Yeah.
And sometimes if your signal's got not good, if there is a thing like wires on the top of the TV that you can move around.
Or Kathy, like, just sometimes by happenstance, you happen to be watching something that I'm watching, and then we can bond over that. But, you know, with all of these different channels, and we are supposed to be in the know with this kind of stuff, and I can't imagine, because we were watching the Golden Globes the other night. There were so many shows that were listed that I hadn't heard of. The one that Patricia Arquette won for, I'd never even heard of that show.
Well, there's that, and a lot of that is what's leading to a rapid decline in viewership for these award shows.
Yeah.
People used to be, when you had three networks or maybe a couple of cable, people were more invested in shows that they were sort of tacitly cheering on. Now people just don't know. I don't even know this show. Right. They don't care.
Yeah. One more quick story. Who all here saw Jojo Rabbit? I know you did, mm-hmm. Nick, right? Sam Rockwell tells E! That he used Bill Murray to help him play his character in the complex dramedy directed by Taika Waititi.
Yeah, that's the guy from Ragnarok.
He said Taiki's great at comedy, and it was like Bill Murray as a gay Nazi. And that's pretty much what I did.
I could see that, yeah.
Does that make sense?
Sure, yeah. Stephen Merchant's in it as well. Michael Giacchino did the music. And he posted a photo last night, Giacchino did, of him with Taika Waititi, the little kid from it. And then another person that I'm not familiar with who's in this photo with Michael Giacchino. But
okay.
It's a great movie. It was one of my favorites from 2019. Probably top five, but it's not a comedy. I mean, there are comedic moments, but there are some stuff that goes on that's not funny.
Yeah, my son saw it and liked it.
Yeah.
He said it was really interesting.
I've heard it likened more to a dark satire.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And Scarlett Johansson is phenomenal.
No kidding.
She's so good. Yeah, she plays the mother.
I'm going to get the clips, but before I do that, I have to say that we did a Kardashian and Jenner
Creed. Yeah!
2 days in a
row.
Oh,
my God.
Wow, what a year.
It's, yes.
Yeah.
Thanks for
leading up. Ladies and gentlemen, this entertainment report has been bereft of any Kardashian stories.
And that's happening more and more often. See?
They're fading.
People, their fate, it's
they're going away.
We've seen this happen.
There certainly was a point in time during the bubonic plague where people were saying, I think it's easing up.
Right.
I think it's easing up.
Exactly. All right, clips, let's do them. In Zoe's extraordinary playlist, a woman discovers that she can hear people's innermost thoughts as songs. Here, Lauren Graham talks about what attracted her to the musical drama.
There's so much about this show that just kind of reminded me what I ever liked about being an actor, and it just felt so kind of fresh, and it is sort of high concept, but also if you're a musical theater lover, people just burst into song and that's fine.
Shut the f*** up!
It actually looks, they've tried things like this before, like Cop Rock but it actually looks pretty good. I like the girl, the main lead, Zoe. She was on a sitcom on ABC, I think it was called Suburgatory.
Yeah, Nick just pulled that up.
And she's really good.
Cop Rock was just dumb, you know?
Yeah.
Perps and cops just breaking out in the song for no reason. This, I think, is a little bit better, as far as...
Well, it's lighter, too.
Yeah.
Steve, what? Nick just found out this little gem. She was in the movie Monster Trucks.
Yeah!
Jane Levy is her name. And so she starred in that with Anthony Hopkins and Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
Who were...
Don't get in that spot. There's an actual monster in that. Hey, when I opened the glove compartment, I saw eyes staring at me.
And tentacles coming
absolutely,
out of areas,
yeah.
Right.
It is quite literally a monster truck.
Right. Okay. So she was in that, too. All right, here's the next clip.
Come on!
Sorry. The three most successful Jeopardy contestants ever will come together to compete for the coveted title in Jeopardy! The Greatest of All Time. In this clip, Ken Jennings, who holds the record for the longest winning streak, speaks on his excitement for the showdown. Here we go.
I think the fans are going to be very happy to see it settled on this stage instead of arguments on chatboards. But there's a lot of luck in a game of Jeopardy. You know, there's going to be a lot of breaks. Who gets the daily double? Who knows the final Jeopardies? We run this back, maybe you get a different winner.
Shut up, dummy.
The first episode of Jeopardy. The greatest of all time is tonight, 8
yes,
o'clock.
I'm so excited.
On ABC.
And I just can't hide it. Now, Preston, every one of them has an attribute that makes them worthy to be on that stage. And Ken Jennings is right that they all have the things that they are great at. So I can't even handicap this one. You know, they're
yeah.
It can break any way, as he said, depending on it. That's the nature of the game, too. With James Holzhauer, right?
Yeah,
he was able to. He's his just technique. So rapid fire. His doing the deep dive on the big money early, and right. then his luck of getting the daily doubles all the time, and then getting them right.
And Ken Jennings, obviously, he has the smarts. He knows all this yes. stuff. He also he's really good with the signaling button.
He's really good.
He knows how to time that out properly, how to get in and be able to be the first to answer.
I think James is the best pure player, but I think that Ken and the other guy, who by the way is from Philly and is a huge Eagles fan, Brad, they know how to play James, and I think that that's going to be to their advantage, and they're going to handicap him a little bit. So my money's on Ken.
So that starts tonight, which is cool.
Is it a half hour tonight or is it an hour?
An hour. It's at 8.
Yeah,
it's in prime time.
All right, regular Jeopardy is airing, and this is prime time.
Yeah.
Okay. So, how many? Any idea how many episodes are they
doing? Three?
No, I think it's seven.
Is it seven?
It's the best of seven. So maybe they break it down more than one per episode.
Okay.
I'm not sure. But
Very cool. The
winner wins by going best of seven.
Now, what Alex Trebek indicated in the special he did last week about the show is that they're going to go hardcore with the questions.
Yeah, because listen, when it's Teen Jeopardy, I'm in, dude.
Yeah, buddy.
I am in. They dumb down the questions. It's awesome.
I'm ready to chest bump Stephen Hawking.
Yeah, yeah.
Teen Jeopardy, but when they get with the real people.
Then they crank it up a notch in the intelligence level, so it should be interesting.
Yeah, sometimes it'll be playing in the background, and if I get, like, three questions in a row, I have to, like, look at the contestants. I'm like, oh, never mind.
It's kids.
Do you know what Jeopardy does, though, in the mechanics of it? Like, if you take it in something that the classroom does... they can pick this up as well from Jeopardy. In the actual framing of the, so you're providing the question, obviously, in the clue, the way it's phrased, if you may not even know the answer, will guide you to the answer.
So that's what, like, I would put together trivia nights for my parish, and, you know, when people are sitting there, why would he ask that question? It's like, well, look at the wording of the question.
Exactly.
Why would he ask, how would I know the answer to that question?
Well, sometimes if I come in the middle of the show and they're just rapid fire asking, it's important to know the subject.
And
if you don't know the subject, subjects can sometimes just give you the answer.
You're exactly right. And if I don't know and I'm like, wait a second, what? Because it has to be, you know, framed in that context. And if you forget it, you're effed.
Yeah. And the first rule in riddles, by the way, is the answer is usually within the question.
Right.
And so if you have to look at the question, there's usually a keyword that'll give you the answer you're looking for. Unless it's just straight up trivia. This happened on this date and so
right.
on.
It's just a great game.
But it is a great game.
If you ever hear the words Chinese born American architect, the answer is always I am Pei.
Oh, really?
Every time. Yeah.
Fair enough. All right, and that's the entertainment report this morning. Lots of money today. Chance for you to win $1,000. We're going to start off with that with Easy Money. Starts at 8 o'clock. We'll give you a word. We'll give you the different venues that you can use to enter that word and send it to us and possibly win $1,000. And then around 9:30, we're going to ask a question about the Dr. Oz show. We're doing this watch and win thing all this week. So you watch the episode on the show. The next day, we'll ask a question about that episode. And the correct answer wins $500, and it's going on all this week around 9:30. So make sure you watch Dr. Oz, which is on 2 p.m. on Fox 29, by the way. So that's coming up. Actor Joe Mantegna is going to be on the program and more. We're going to take a break and be back in just a second. Stay with us on your drive in today.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes at Jack Frost Mountain, Friday, January 10th.
Look out below!
Celebrate winter with the best lift ticket deal out there, along with a Pierre Robert live broadcast and a legendary happy hour with Jackson live from E2000 Lounge. Listen up. There's still time to save money on your lift tickets. Ski the day with us for $20 through our pre-sale. Available while supplies last or until noon on January 8th. WMMR.com has all the details.
MMR's Day Off on the Slopes. Sip, ski, and be merry. Friday, January 10th at Jack Frost Mountain from JFBB, where the snow comes first. And 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Coming up in about 35 minutes, close to 8 as we can do it. We're going to get to the easy money. Your chance to win $1,000, so get set for that. And then later on, we're going to have actor Joe Mantegna on. And Texas says, Joe Mantegna, the quarterback for the 49ers. It says, name that movie. That's The Waterboy, right?
Is it?
Yeah. Okay. The two guys are in the stands.
I've never seen The Waterboy.
Preston, may I ask you to take a gander out the window there?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hey, my man. God. Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, my God. What the
That's
hell?
Good.
What the hell?
No, that's Casey. I thought it was just a dude working out there.
He's got a helmet on.
Hang on. Let me explain. We have construction going on in our building, and it happens to be outside of our window here that these guys are out on scaffolding. And Casey's out there. He's outside of the studio. And he was, I just looked over and I saw a guy's bare ass up by the window. And apparently that's Casey. And he's calling the hotline right now.
Hang on a second. I love that the other construction worker out there is really not fazed at all.
Yeah, he's going about his business. Thea, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, I don't know. I was presented an opportunity to be on the other side of the glass, and I just jumped on it. I'm mooning you, and they gave you the finger, and you flipped me off before you realized who I was.
Well, you were flipping me off.
I know. You're like, I'm just going to give this guy the finger impact. Yeah. And you're like, oh, my God, that's Casey.
Yeah.
So, hi, guys.
do we get a picture of the actual mooning? Because it was amazing, especially with the skyline behind
no,
you.
No, we missed it.
Oh, damn it.
We can recreate it. I'm sure Casey doesn't mind dropping his pants again. Case?
Yeah, I don't know how to mime. Is that what you were saying?
You know what's great on the radio?
No, we had nothing to do with miming. We was wondering if you could drop your pants again because we missed that. We didn't get a picture of it.
There we go. All right,
he's miming on the radio.
Would Casey mind, I think, is what you said, not mime. Oh.
My mind, it's the same thing.
He started doing the fake pane of glass thing.
Is that what he
hands?
Thought I said?
I guess
that's
so.
Adorable.
Uh-huh.
This other worker, I just love it. Casey mooned us again. He looked at him and, like, not he didn't crack a smile, nothing.
Well, it was funny because earlier, go ahead.
Yeah, no. The first time, Kathleen, when I did it, you were still doing your traffic. He was the only one who saw me, and you just hear him go, are you serious?
Yeah. Casey, is it cold out there at all, or is it protected?
What's that?
Is it cold out there at all, or is it protected by the glass at this point?
I'm totally fine, yeah. No, we're completely enclosed in glass, so the outer glass is it's cut off from the elements outside.
Okay. Yeah, so they have this atrium that they're adding to the building here. Ask this construction worker what his name is.
Oh, man, I don't want to do this.
Hey, what's your name, by the way?
Robert.
That's Robert over here, guys.
Hey, Robert. We've been looking at Robert's ass for the better part of the morning. So, yeah.
Hey, guys, I hate you.
I'm trying to do my goddamn job.
Seriously.
Okay. How did you get out there, by the way?
So you got to go down the third floor. Well, first I had to sign a giant waiver, and then I put a hard hat on, and then I went down to the third floor. I walked out. I had to climb up a ladder.
Yeah. Ooh.
Really cool. Yeah.
I've been wanting to do this stuff for a while.
Hey, let me ask you this. Is the fart... earlier, was that you about to go out onto the scaffolding?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh.
So
Casey was faking a bathroom emergency, and he came back and said it was fart. I was like, I thought that was a little odd.
No, because if it's Casey, you would have figured he would have crapped his pants.
Right, right. Okay.
Yeah, so I thought I was going to be out there earlier, but what I actually had to do was go through all of, like, the legal stuff of signing my life away. But at that point, I thought I was coming outside, but I wasn't. So
this kind of stuff, construction, when you see this, you just want, I think it's cool. Like, that's why we talked about, like, Diggerland or whatever it is. Anything with the equipment and cranes and stuff like that. Look at you. You make a good construction worker. You look good in your hard hat and everything. The way you moon.
Right? I think you look like the foreman. You know, like,
really?
You look like the guy in charge of everybody out there.
Make sure I don't look like a Feisman. That's a fat joke, guys.
A fat joke?
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, get on in here.
All right. Come on back in.
All right.
Bye-bye. Guys. All right. We'll have video pictures to post of that later on. I thought it was a guy who works here that maybe was a listener and decided to show us his butthole. But no, it was Casey.
Damn the luck.
Outside, mooning us as we were getting ready. And I had a really good segue, too. Which sucks,
damn it.
Man.
Can you reclaim it?
Joe Montana is going to be on the show later on this morning. And a texter said, Joe Montana, the quarterback for the 49ers, name the movie. The Waterboy. That was the movie, right? Hey, speaking of sports.
That was your
story. Believe it or not, I think these things up before we actually go to them, and that was fine.
It still works.
Hey, speaking of sports.
Still works.
There was a Sixers game last night.
There was!
There was!
Yes. And apparently during the game, Joel Embiid had a nasty injury that didn't keep him out of the game. Unbelievable. Yeah. He had his finger was dislocated. Which finger was it?
It was his pinky finger, and he thought that he broke it. So he went into the locker room. They did x-rays real quickly and then realized it was not broken, popped it back in, and brought him back into the game.
Why is it still hanging then?
If you've not seen the picture, this is when he was getting ready to be taken off or off of the court, and it's not hanging. It's like 90 degrees sideways.
Oh, God, gross.
At that main knuckle. Number one, looking at that gives me the heebie-jeebies in a big way. It's like immediately I want to look the other way.
It is definitely alarming to see that, because that's not usually the way a finger should bend. But the question that also prompts, Preston, is what exactly would constitute an injury then that would keep you out of the game when your finger is going in the completely wrong direction and he goes back in?
Well, I guess they pop it back in and nothing was torn.
Right. Or broken,
then it's just a strain.
Jesus.
There. But what's the movie? The Rock movie, Central Intelligence. There's a part where they're torturing him and they snap his finger sideways like that. And I can't look at that. It drives me crazy. And by the way, playing basketball, just horsing around or whatever, you guys ever gone up for the ball and it hits your finger straight on and jams it?
Oh, yeah, jamming
hurts like a son of a bitch.
It completely hurts. I got one, and now it's since corrected itself, but it was a dodgeball injury. I've had for the longest time, and the last knuckle on my finger would bend down. I couldn't stop it from bending down. However, when I took that hit initially, the ball hit directly straight on the finger,
and
it hurt like a son of a bitch.
My dad, I'll never forget it, we were in sixth grade, and he was playing a flag football exhibition game with the parents or something like that. My dad played college football.
He's
a roughneck. He played hard, you played the offense and defense, and he got his crap beat out of him for years. So
not
he,
with the equipment we have today, too.
Right, and he's playing this stupid little flag football game, and he jams his pinky finger. And to this day, this is when I was in sixth grade, and I'm just showing you guys in the studio. It's like this permanently.
Oh, yeah.
It's sort of bent up.
Permanently.
You guys have seen Torrey Smith. He was a not Torrey Smith.
Torrey Amos.
Torrey Spelling.
No. Torrey.
God.
Torrey Holt.
Gotcha.
Torrey Holt for the he was a receiver for the Rams.
Yeah.
And so he had broken and dislocated his finger during a game. I mean, it's like this, Preston. It's basically
90 degrees sideways.
And he never got it fixed.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, if you saw him today.
It's like that permanently?
Yes.
What?
And he was
How
a receiver.
How did you not get that fixed?
His wife asked that he not get it fixed.
You know,
she appreciated it.
Some people are texting in that Embiid's finger was his ring finger.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay.
But I could only look at the photo for so long before I had to turn away. That's why.
Okay.
And Ben Simmons and a couple other guys on the court, when they saw it, it really looked like they were about to puke. Like,
reaction. That puke reaction is so the leg snaps that you see in football a lot of times.
I can't take it.
A lot of times people, and I saw a friend of mine one time years ago, I forget what we were looking at. It was a still photograph. Years ago, and he threw up.
Oh my God! The Theismann
injury
just
caused that reaction.
I've seen the Theismann injury once. There was one Casey that happened last year, the year before, with another Redskins quarterback,
Alex Smith.
Never watched it because I heard how gross it was, and now cameras are like so high def, and no, I can't do it.
because of my own reaction.
I still to this day haven't seen the Joe Theismann because I don't want to.
Yeah.
The basketball player from Louisville. Still haven't seen that because I knew it was coming. The Alex Smith one, I didn't know it was coming. I was watching it. I was like, oh, my God, I didn't want to see that.
Yeah. But you saw that power lifter the one time.
Oh,
right?
Man.
Oh, my. So I can watch that. You still get a little grossed out, but I can watch it.
Snap.
One of the things you talk about, the powerlifting, Preston, was the guy, remember, who was powerlifting. We saw the pictures years ago, maybe about 10, 12 years ago. And basically his rectum distended.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, basically what was behind his anus came out.
I think it's called a prolapse.
Oh, my. Basically, it looks like a bloody cauliflower out of his bunghole.
Horrible. Hang on. I'm going to go. let me go to Paul on the line. Hi, Paul. You're on the air. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks, buddy. What's up?
So in middle school, I was playing football, and at practice, my coach was a little bit of a hard ass. And we were doing five and outs, and I ran 5 yards out, and I turned around, and he had whipped the ball before I had turned around. And before I got my hands up, the ball was there and jammed my finger, my pinky finger. And when I looked down, my pinky finger was perpendicular to the rest of my finger.
Oh, God.
And so I walked up to coach, and I was like, well, this happened. And he's like, well, give me your hand. He took my pinky. Popped it back into place. And he's like, all right, keep practicing.
All right, so let me ask you this. Yeah. I want to ask a person who's had this very thing happen. I would think it would be excruciatingly painful. And you look at Embiid, and he's not, he looks uncomfortable, but he's not, you know, bent over and grimacing or anything like that. How bad did it hurt, Paul?
Well, when it happened, it didn't hurt at all because it was so quick.
Yeah.
And when I looked down, I was kind of in shock about it. And then when he popped it back into place, however, that's when it really started to hurt.
Oof.
And that was in sixth grade, and I went to the ER afterwards, and they were like, yeah, it's not broken, it's nothing torn. Here, put a splint on it. And that was in sixth grade, and I'm 36 now, and I still can't bend my finger the full way.
Yeah.
And I can still, and my finger is still kind of jagged.
So okay. I have the littlest bend in my, and the pinky always seems to be just the littlest bend.
Yeah, first little knuckle.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So, but you see things like in Lethal Weapon, you know.
There's a text that came in that said, thanks to the Lethal Weapon movies, I grew up thinking that if you separated a body part, you could just snap it back in and get back to work.
Yeah. So I'm assuming there's no legitimacy to that notion, correct?
Well, Riggs could dislocate his shoulder at will.
Yeah.
And then, it hurts worse when you put it back in. Yeah. Snap.
Wow.
That was him getting out of the straitjacket.
It really depends on which body part you're talking about. Now, kids can suffer from a thing called nursemaid's elbow.
Yes.
My two daughters actually got it three times. One got it twice, the other one got it once.
And but, what is that?
It's essentially your arm bone becomes detached from its elbow, like dislocated from its elbow.
Yep.
And it sounds... When it happens, it's screaming agony, screaming pain, and then you bring them to the ER, and all they simply do is they rotate the arm and bend it in, and it pops back into place, and it's like nothing was wrong to begin with. Like, there's no residual pain whatsoever. It's pretty wild.
Okay.
It's disconcerting to realize it could come out that easily and then pop in that easily.
You like
to think those things are more firmly attached.
Well, the children are still growing and all that sort of stuff, and usually... stops when the child is between like 5 and 6 years old, but they call it nursemaid's elbow because and for any new parents out there, we didn't do this to our children on purpose. Like, this was my wife is taking a dress off of my daughter's head, so it can happen really innocuously. But they call it nursemaid's elbow because of parents will like pull their kid's arm, like, come on, hurry up.
Get over here.
And that's how it can happen.
Right.
The other two times that it happened, my one daughter was falling out of a chair, and she went to, like, brace herself, and that's how that one happened.
Huh.
I can't remember how the other one happened, but it wasn't
You were swinging her over your head.
I was not.
Let me go to Chris, a certified hand therapist, and can answer any questions. Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
Nah, it's all good. So the sideways finger thing. Is that usually a pretty easy bounce back once you pop that back in place?
So the joint in question for Joel Embiid, it's the first main joint that you called it. It's your metacarpal phalangeal joint. That has two ligaments on either side, your collateral ligament.
Okay.
What happened was, so it's possible he tore one of those and may need surgery. But, you know, after they reset that joint, they can tape a couple fingers together, and it's called buddy taping.
Yeah.
You can go back in and play, but eventually they're going to need to kind of maybe do an MRI and see if you may need surgery at some point.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah. Because the hand is a very finicky part of your body. Because you use it so much, and there's so many moving parts in there, and so many tiny little bones and ligaments.
It's very intricate.
That's why you have specialists like yourself that focus just on that part.
Are there a lot of other hand jobs available in your industry?
Yeah. If I had a dime for every time I heard that.
Yes, exactly. All right, what's one of the nastier things that you've seen come through?
Oh, I see all kinds of stuff. Gunshot wounds and lacerations from stabbings and people putting hands in equipment where they shouldn't fit.
So we see a lot of times in movies, Chris, where like somebody will get a knife through the hand they pull it out. I assume as something's going through the soft part of your palm, I assume nerves and things get cut. It's not as depicted in movies, right, where a lot of times you just pull it out and just keep going. I assume the likelihood of damaging permanently nerves is pretty prominent.
Well, depending on where you get injured, yes, the odds are it's very likely you're going to injure a tendon or a nerve. You're going to need surgery, and then the rehab after that is quite extensive. So, yeah, you're not going back into battle right away.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Chris.
Movies lie. Listen, you have to realize that.
I have a movie question.
All right.
And it has to do with, it's why do they do this every time? So when someone is going to, say, be blood brothers or mix their blood with someone else.
Yes.
Why do they take a knife and slice across their palm of their hand in a huge, like, 4-inch cut, and then I'm like, you know, maybe by the elbow or something that I'm not going to use all the time.
Or
we can mix blood together that way.
How about the way they test your blood with the Red Cross, one of those little suckers? Yeah. That's enough blood.
Why not take it from your ear?
Yeah.
Something.
Get a piercing.
That's not so use it.
Your palm you're going to use. You're holding it at the end of it, they do that.
That's what made me think about it the other day. And they huge gashes.
And they're using, what are they using? Glass.
So me and my friend Matt, when we were growing up, we wanted to be blood brothers, but we were, you know, we didn't want to bleed, so we became ketchup brothers.
I knew it. I knew it.
I thought you were going to say semen brothers.
No. We were too young for that, Steve. Yeah, we had not developed.
It was not even possible.
What other fluid could we use?
Wow. All right, hang on a second. I'm going to go back to the socket stuff. I will go to Melissa. Hi, Melissa. Good morning.
Hi,
what's up, Melissa?
Nothing. When I was a kid, my brothers, we would always be, like, messing around, and they would always, like, pull my arm out of the socket. Like, I think it was, like, either, like, my shoulder or my elbow.
Ugh.
And my parents took me to the doctor so many times that the doctor, like, showed them how to, like, put it back in place. But it was, like, a common thing. Like, my brothers would just, like, pull on my arm and, like, dead arm.
Melissa, okay, so that's my question. The arm gets popped out of its socket. You're unable to. You're looking at your arm and you're unable to raise it?
Yeah. Like, it was just, like,
just limply hanging there. So that, and then the second they got it back into place, you regained full mobility?
Yep, good to go.
Wow.
Nasty.
I see. It to me, that freaks me out that's that simple.
Does this still happen from time to time, or did you outgrow it?
Well, now that I'm 27, my brothers really don't pull on
Right. Because it's called assault at this point.
Thanks, Melissa. I have bad shoulders. I've got a shoulder injury that I may not be able to play golf anymore, I've found out.
Right.
Because it's too painful. But I've always had problems. So even when I was a teenager, I remember one time, like, for whatever reason, I was, you know, like, fist pumping in the air, almost like, you know, like the Arsenio Hall. You know, I was doing, like, that motion. And I separated my shoulder or something, like, just, I mean, I wasn't lifting anything heavy. I didn't do any trauma to it. And it just, like, I felt it go pop. And I'm like, oh, and it's excruciating pain.
Did they pop it back in, or did you pop it back?
No, it came, it was out for however many seconds, and I'm in pain. And I guess I just moved or manipulated, and I felt it pop back in.
Do you think that led to the injury?
Maybe. And I did it to my left shoulder. My left shoulder doesn't give me trouble. And I don't know if I was taking a shirt off or doing what, something around the house. And all of a sudden I felt that. I'm like, my left one?
Okay, so.
Son of a bitch.
When you were taking your shirt off?
It was something. I don't know. Okay. Some kind of movement where I had my arm up. Oh, shut up. You want me to show you?
Yeah. Go slower.
It's gonna get good.
The other thing.
Something else just popped.
The other thing that I heard was that once it happens once, it's more likely to happen again.
Maybe, yeah. Maybe.
So I'm wondering if that's the case with you.
Ooh, by the way, this goes...
popped a boner.
This is a whole other subject. I'm thinking of these other subjects, but maybe we'll do another discussion on this sometime. But you're about ready to go in for a wonderful sexual experience. Yeah. Everybody's ready. And all of a sudden, something painful happens. Whether you stub your toe... or you bang your head on
leg cramp,
and it or leg cramp
what the
for
hell,
Christ's
man?
Sake, and it just kills it.
Yeah,
it's
I've had that
many times,
and it's especially the leg cramp. Or I've actually fallen to the floor.
ow!
Yeah.
Ow.
Okay, give me a second.
It's terrible. All right, let me go back to this because we got keyed off on this with Joel Embiid. Dislocated his finger last night, his ring finger, and it is, 90 degrees sideways. And he goes back into the game.
Goes back into the game. Whenever you see something like that, you talk about the bone to the legs broken the other way, it's just not the way it's supposed to look. Yeah. And everyone has the same reaction. Oh, horrible.
All right, let me go to, hang on. Now, some people can do this. Let me go to Tim. Hi, Tim. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. First time caller. You guys rock.
Oh, welcome, man. Welcome, brother. What's up, man?
So my pinky finger, I used to play a lot of volleyball, and it wouldn't dislocate at the 90 degree angle, but the second bone would pop on top of the bottom bone, and it would be kind of to the side, and just the grotesque nature of it, right? It just looked horrible. I went to the ER twice to get it reset, and the third time it happened, I was like, why don't I just try resetting this thing by myself? And it kind of went back together. And what Nick said about, like, once it happens, it can happen more often is so true, because it started happening, like, over and over again while I play sports. I'd buddy tape it sometimes, but sometimes I wouldn't, and it would happen. I started showing people and having them reset it for me just as a gag, you know?
Really? You could do that?
Yeah. People would be freaking out, you know?
So you would do that on your own just to show people?
I wouldn't. It would happen accidentally while playing sports.
Oh, and then you go, "Hey, look at this."
Yeah, and okay. I'd be like, and people would just almost want to pass out because it looks so foul.
Listen, if people do get completely woozy on that. My question is with the pinky finger injury, you know, and I, you know, my incredible dodgeball injury.
Yeah.
You know, so what's the protocol? Will they put a pinky in a splint, or what will they?
No, maybe. I mean, you can. I mean, they can, if it's broken, they can cast it up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, listen, I broke my knuckle. My middle knuckle I broke, and they casted that up.
Okay. Wow. I didn't know. I didn't know what at what point, because I know with, like, the pinky toe.
Right.
Right?
I've always
what, just... wear, like, a boot or something? What happened?
Taped it together.
Tape it?
You know, something like that.
I've never broken any digits, so I don't know.
I don't know what this bone is called, but the basically the pinky hand bone.
Yeah.
I broke that as well, and they had to cast it up.
Are you talking about the
edge of your hand?
Like
edge.
If you were doing hammer punches, that bone.
That edge. You broke that?
Yeah.
Okay.
You're talking about karate.
Well, I had a close
fist. That's right, man.
Only two people, guys, people know karate.
Let me go to one more quick call, and then we got to take a break because we got to do our easy money on the other side. I will go to Kate. This sounds pretty wild. Hi, Kate. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. First time caller. What's up, bitches?
Another one. Not much, bitch. What's up? All right, what do you want to tell us?
I actually have a pretty interesting story, and it's happened three times. My jaw actually comes unhinged.
Oh.
So
like a snake?
I can't. Yes, exactly. Exactly. So I can't close my jaw at all. And it's happened three times. The first time I was 16. Second time I was in my mid-20s. I'm in my mid-40s, and it happened again last year. And it happens just from yawning.
Okay. So is that what lockjaw is? Is that lockjaw?
It's not lockjaw. It's lockjaw is some type of disease. It's actually my jaw becomes unhinged.
All right.
So it dislocates and I have to go to the hospital, and they have to pop it back in.
So with that, when it's dislocated, is your mouth wide open?
Oh, yeah.
So in high school, that would make you very popular, right?
So you can't close it. So you got to get to the hospital quick then.
Yeah, the last time it happened, I was sitting at work, and I yawned, and it was locked open, and I had to drive myself to the hospital.
And are you literally going to people, are you talking like that?
Yeah, the last time I had to take a Post-it note with me and explain when I walked in the emergency room.
That's wild. Sucks. So that's, yeah. I think the image I have is of like Jacob Marley in A Christmas Carol with his jaw hanging open, you know? So you have that and you can't, if you try to close it, it will not close. The mechanism is not there to close it at all.
No, not at all.
And what's the pain level like?
Oh my God, it's excruciating. And it gets worse the longer that it is unhinged. So the last time that I was in the hospital, they couldn't get it back into place. So they had to give me ketamine.
Oh,
and my husband was there sitting next to me watching the whole thing.
All right. So when they're resetting it, what do they do? Somebody just manipulating it with their hands? They use a foot underneath your chin?
Ball peen hammer?
They actually, the doctor... wraps their thumbs in gauze.
Oh my God.
And then they get on top of me. This is what I've been told. And they straddle you, and then they have to pop it back in.
Oh my God.
Oh, so they're reaching their hand inside your mouth
and pulling the jaw.
Oh God.
Yes.
Holy F. Oh.
So thumbs going into your mouth. I see. Okay. So
yeah.
They're almost like they're getting like in 69 position over you. And they've got and they have to reach their thumbs into your mouth. And that's insane, Kate.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. And apparently the last time it happened, the doctor was straddling me. And apparently I tried to put my hand up his shirt, hitting on him.
Wow. Okay.
Wow.
I know you don't do that.
You're a piece of ass.
The mood hit me.
So, Kate, while your mouth is open in this, and I don't know if you're able to recollect this, but is drool pouring out?
No, it's actually the opposite. It gets so dry.
Okay.
Where you can't swallow it anymore. So that's when it becomes a little scary because it gets so dry.
Jaw issues with people have caused, like, for example, I remember, I don't know if this is true or not, but I remember this being the allegation or the thought. Burt Reynolds lost a tremendous amount of weight years ago, and obviously he's dead now. He's losing weight like crazy, but he had jaw issues that were sort of very pernicious, and that led to him not being able to eat and chew food properly. So do you have issues like that with chewing?
Oh, yeah. There's certain, like, I'm not supposed to chew gum. I'm not supposed to chew, like, a bagel or anything chewy, you know, candy, that type of thing.
Wow.
Because it will happen again.
Do you resist the urge to yawn when it comes on?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Listen, there are obviously far worse things, but that's annoying.
Yeah, I mean, you can yawn. You don't have to have your mouth totally agape to yawn.
Right.
Sometimes, though, it just comes over you quickly and you don't
do it.
And it's actually one of the great joys in life is a good yawn.
All right. Hey, that's wild. Thanks for sharing. We appreciate it.
Sure. Have a good day.
All right, you too.
Have you seen Brightburn yet, Preston?
No, I got to see it.
Okay, there's a jaw scene in that will have you...
laughing
out loud.
Is it akin to Upgrade when they?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Oh. And even worse.
Oh my God! I can't imagine worse than that. All right. Interesting. Well, thanks for sharing. And if this type of thing skeeves you out, avoid the pictures of Joel Embiid with his funky finger. It's pretty messed up. We got to take a break. Case, I'm assuming we're coming right back.
Yeah, we got to come right back.
We got to do easy money. Got to give away $1,000. All right. So we're going to take a break. We're going to play these commercials. Going to come on the back end. No song. And we'll have your chance to win. So don't go anywhere. Stay with us because we will have that special word you need with the numbers and all the information to send it over to us and possibly walk away $1,000 richer. B-File coming up too. Be right back.
What's new?
Glad you asked.
Weezer. Fozzy. Dirty Honey. When you need a little loving, baby, all night long. When you need a little loving, oh.
everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre. Bizarre File.
All right, I have some very funny and very disturbing stories to share with you today, both of them. So get yourself ready. Strap in. Here we go. Deputies with the Palm Beach County Sheriff's Office responded to reports of someone screaming for help at a neighbor's home. And after showing up to the home, the deputies soon discovered that the supposed victim was actually a parrot named Rambo. The homeowner was changing the brakes on his car when the deputies arrived and notified him that his neighbor had called to report that there was a woman screaming inside asking for help and to be let out. The owner,
that ain't over!
Yes, the owner then introduced Rambo to the officers. He said, I was changing the brakes on my wife's car. I have my 40-year-old parrot, Rambo, on his outside perch where he sings and talks.
I just crapped on a newspaper.
Sometime later, four police officers showed up saying a neighbor called because she heard a woman screaming for help, and I promptly introduced the officers to Rambo, and we all had a good laugh.
Crime is the disease, and crackers are the cure.
He added, afterward, I also introduced Rambo to the neighbor who called in the screaming.
Rambo want a cracker.
Luckily, his neighbor also had a good laugh about the entire situation. He said, sometimes Rambo yells, help, help, let me out. And he explained that it's something I taught him when I was a kid, and Rambo lived in a cage, so...
It's like a billion feathers.
And I heard the audio, and it does indeed sound like a woman saying, help, let
me
out. Yeah, it's pretty wild. So.
Those things are amazing, but yep. They're a pain in the ass.
All right, here's another fun one, and then we'll get to the disturbing stuff. When Brian McCarthy's daughter opened an Amazon package from her grandmother last month, she discovered a mini Baby Cakes brand waffle maker meant to be her Christmas gift.
Ooh.
But when she opened the new waffle maker, she found an old, crusty waffle already inside.
No. Is that the starter kit?
It's like, it's on the waffle grid, okay?
Oh, my God.
Her father said that the Amazon sold the item directly through its Prime service as opposed to by a third-party merchant that uses the Amazon platform to sell goods to Amazon customers. And the product was not advertised or used or refurbished. It was new, so somehow or another it had a...
Was it a test one? Or,
I don't know, man.
Or do they send you a complimentary waffle with each purchase?
Amazon is investigating the incident, supposedly. All right, this is truly disturbing.
Oh, boy.
The details have emerged in a case of a Michigan man who allegedly killed his grinder date, police say, and it gets more intense. Now, oddly enough, the guy, the victim, the man who was murdered, his name is Kevin Bacon.
Oh, boy.
Kevin Bacon actually commented on this story after reading about it, and I'll get to that at the end of it. So Kevin Bacon was reported missing when he didn't show up for breakfast with his family on Christmas Day. He was 25 years old, and it wasn't long before his car was found outside of the Family Dollar store with his wallet, phone, and clothes inside. The day before, Bacon had told a friend that he was meeting up with a man he had met on the dating app Grindr. Later that evening, Bacon texted his friend that he was having fun and would be out for a while. Early on December 28th, police found Bacon's body in 50-year-old Mark Latunsky's home. He's arrested and charged with open murder and mutilation of the human body. Now more details have emerged on this. According to court documents, police found Bacon hanging naked from the rafters by his ankles in Latunsky's house. Police said Latunsky confessed to killing Bacon by stabbing him in the back and then slicing his throat, also telling police he had cut off Bacon's testicles with a knife before eating them. So this guy hangs him up like a deer.
Yes, like Ed Gein style.
Exactly, to bleed him.
Jesus.
The month before...
What a deranged world.
Police responded to Latunsky's home after a man was seen running from Latunsky's home with blood on his face wearing only a leather kilt. The man didn't press charges, and following an investigation, police determined no crime had been committed. Actor Kevin Bacon, who shares first and last name with the victim, took to Instagram to express his condolences when the news broke of the victim's death last week. Yeah, that's messed up, man.
Yeah, right. So John Dahmer had similar things that he did and engaged in. He was a cannibal as well.
Yeah, yeah. All right, lighter story.
Yes.
Much lighter, opposite of the end of the spectrum story.
A happy bacon story.
No, but it does involve a food product.
All right.
A Florida woman is selling an unusual possession for thousands of dollars. It just so happens to be a manatee-shaped chicken tender.
Wow.
The gentle giant-shaped tender was posted on Facebook Marketplace on January 2nd.
Yes, hold for Miss Lowen, please.
By...
Yes, I hear you on the chicken finger that's shaped like a manatee. I'd love to purchase it, please.
By Florida resident Melinda Britt Disbrow under the Antiques and Collectibles heading. The pricey piece of poultry is called tender.
How much?
Listed as in new condition. They're asking $5,000 for it. The woman stated that she had discovered tender in her meal from Culver's, which is ironically on the same road that leads to the Manatee Viewing Center in Apollo Beach.
By the way, virtually every chicken tender looks like a manatee.
I think you're right. I think you're right about that, Steve. Yeah, so, but she's seeing if she can get 5 G's out of it. We'll see where that
goes. I
have
a potato that looks like a ball.
Two children, ages 12 and 13, here's another slightly disturbing story, were shot after throwing snowballs at passing cars in Milwaukee.
That's the Chicago way.
They're okay. Yeah, well, this is in Milwaukee, I know, yeah. So some dude probably moved from Chicago. The pair was hurling snowballs at passing cars with a group of children on Saturday evening. One of the snowballs struck a white Toyota.
Jeez.
The driver of the car shot at the children. Police found the 12-year-old girl and 13-year-old boy minutes apart. Both of their injuries were non-life-threatening, thank God. They've been treated at a local hospital, and police asked tipsters with information about the suspect or incident to contact them.
I always thought that throwing ice balls was cheating.
Yeah.
Pulling out a gun. It's off the charts.
That was, like, one of my favorite pastimes, was throwing snowballs at cars.
Yeah, we like doing it, too.
Yeah.
You'd get in an area where you could run away pretty quickly.
Well, we had...
Between houses or something?
Well, so we did it at Triangle Park in Rutledge, and we only got cars going the one way because... they couldn't turn around because the street was a one-way street.
Good.
So, you know, and
now do you regret it?
No, not at all. And then cars, if we hit them going the other way, they had to make like 3 turns just to get to our street.
Uh-huh.
And we could see them the whole time. So we're like, if they make that first turn, we would start booking. And then the second turn, if they made it, we're like, all right, we're off.
Yeah. All right, then one last story. A woman is a little embarrassed but well-rested after falling asleep testing a mattress at a Missouri store and spending the night there. Officers were called to the undisclosed store shortly before 8 a.m. Tuesday after a worker found the woman wandering inside the business prior to its opening. The woman told police she had been trying out a display mattress the evening before and must have fallen asleep.
Don't wake her.
Police posted on social media that it was the best mattress endorsement we've ever heard. Store operators declined to press charges. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. It's a messed up story.
No, man, the cannibal story is off the charts.
Couple things. Tattoos Day, chance for you to win a $350 gift certificate for world-famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo for your Preston and Steve show-themed tattoo. And all you got to do is text the word tattoo to 39333. We're going to randomly draw one later on. You might end up being tattooed by artists like Don Juan, who's awesome. You can see his work on Instagram, at Don Juan Tattoos or PhiladelphiaEddiesTattoo.com. So that is one of the things going on. We also have just a couple of minutes, like 2 minutes left for you to get the word in for easy money. The word is budget. So you can text that to 45911, or you can enter using the MMR mobile app with the contest page or the contest page at WMMR.com. You do it that way. You can be entered for the $10,000 grand prize. And coming up at 9:30, we have a chance to win $500. That is if you watched the Dr. Oz show yesterday, because it's a question that is specific to yesterday's episode. And we're doing it this week and next week. So
yeah, lots of money.
Around 9:30. So get yourself set for that. We'll take a break and be back in just a moment. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Snazzy.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket.
Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
I wonder why we as human beings, when we second-guess something like that, our voices go up like that when we do that? It's almost every time you say... blah, blah, blah. This. Wait, did I already say that? Your voice goes up and you start talking like this. Why does it do that? I don't know.
There was actually a Nat Geo special that broke down, and culturally, where other cultures will...
Don't do that?
They'll do another sort of...
A thing that's...
Right.
That's just common to them.
To them, that would suggest that they're confused in their tone. It's funny. It's the way... universally, if you start to do that here, people know you're questioning your...
Whatever you just said,
right.
You're questioning yourself.
I was watching the show on Netflix called Messiah, and in the show, the gentlemen that were speaking Arabic, and I was, as I'm watching, I'm like, if I were born and raised there, would I be able to make those sounds? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I know what you're talking about.
No, they would stop you from doing them.
Watching Jack Ryan, there's a lot of Middle Eastern language, and it just sounds like people clearing their throats to me. There's a lot of and things like that.
A lot of Farsi is indistinguishable to us, but there are subtle nuances that you're just born to pick up on.
And we have you ever watched videos of foreigners doing what they consider to be pretending to speak English?
Yeah, it's
funny.
It's
wild.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's very, very odd.
Well, they know this is the right language.
But, I mean, if you were to pretend like you were speaking, you know, an Asian language or something like that, you just make sounds that you hear are common in that, and it's just gibberish that you're saying, and they do the same thing with English, and it's funny to hear.
All my dialects are hyper versions of the, you know.
Yeah.
But as time advances, everything sort of gets homogenized as our exposure to, you know, the likelihood, like, for example, in Star Trek, it's been pointed out many times that Scotty would be that far in the future going, "Oh, I got to know ya." it would be mitigated over time, you know?
We don't have a common language by then.
The warp factor engines are in distress.
Exactly. But listen, one of the, I was going to do a segue, but forget it.
Do you want to just do a regular bicycle?
No.
Yeah, just do the segue.
No, I was... My segue was going to be, you know, a lot of times you do the Russian dialect.
Yes. I do it with great pleasure.
Exactly. And one of the things we see coming out of Russia actually a lot are dash cam videos.
Yeah. Tons of them.
Loaded with dash cam videos.
Tons of them. In fact, there are a couple of Twitter sites that I follow that are almost exclusively things seen from Russian dashboard cameras.
Right. And the reason I bring that up is because Nick had sent over this story. It was about PennDOT starting to use speed cameras. But this was interesting, and speed cameras specifically in work zones. But I read this, the automated systems are mounted to vehicles and use cameras and speed timing devices to catch motorists traveling above the posted speed limit in active work zones. I always thought speed cameras were just stationary. And that you knew where they were. Sometimes even Waze will let you know. You know, there's a red light camera ahead, and we'll give you a little warning.
I got busted by one coming north on 95. I think I talked about it on the air. North of Baltimore, north of the tunnel, and Preston, that camera was mounted, I think, on a porta potty. It was a construction zone.
Stop
it,
really?
Yeah, okay. It was a construction zone, and so
fast was the porta potty going?
No, it was stationary.
Oh, okay.
But because it was a construction zone, the speed limit, I think, Steve, was 55, and I was going probably 65 or 70. Or something like that.
Yeah, they can mount, as you obviously porta potty. They can mount them just about everywhere.
Right.
Okay, so maybe these vehicles must be stationary.
Can't. Yeah,
that was. I thought it was a moving vehicle doing this. I'm like, what's the point of that? Okay.
Yeah, right, I got pinched by one. Similar area. Mine was closer to DC though. I had to get off of a highway to get onto a highway, and so I was kind of like looping around on some sort of like clover leaf, and I got pinched there by some camera, and I didn't even know.
I got it
weeks
in the mail.
Later. I got it in the mail.
Okay, yeah, me
and I'm
too.
Like, so how do you even fight that?
Right, and I didn't because I don't think you can.
No,
Well, a lot of times you may not even remember. So how do you fight that exactly?
You can't fight a porta potty.
You get pulled over. It's fresh in your mind. And maybe you can say, look, here's the extenuating circumstance of why I might have done this infraction.
A question, if you did fight it, if the porta potty did not show up to court, would you be let go?
Technically, you're off at that point. Yeah. But listen, if you do get busted, so they're going to do this mainly in work zones because that's where the hyper focus is, where you really work zones and school zones. You need to do the speed limit.
It's honestly, I see guys out there and I see people being reckless. It is such a dangerous thing to do when they're stepping out into the street and they're working and people going through the road cones quicker than they should. It's a good idea to just be as safe as you can. So I understand the need to clamp down on this.
But it was leading to a larger discussion that we had kicked around off air was having a dash cam on your own vehicle.
Yeah, my wife is actually talking about getting one because of she's in sales, and so she's on the road a lot, and she has a coworker of hers who was at a stoplight. And they were just sitting there at the stoplight, and the guy walked across the street and then jumped up on their hood and acted as if they had gotten hit by the car. Yep. And then little did they know that they had a dash cam, and so they were able to – and so they were able to dispute the fact that
it was a setup.
It was a total setup, and so my wife's like, I probably should get something like that just to cover my ass.
My brother-in-law has one on his. He's got one going forward and backwards. And I forgot the scenario, but it was a fender bender. And the woman who he had the fender bender with was claiming that it was his fault. It was clearly not his fault. And she's going on and on about it. And he goes, you know what? I have a camera on my car that got the whole thing. And she quickly changed her tune immediately after that.
You know, so the conversation has come up. I actually priced them out. You can get them on an Amazon. And they're readily gettable. I just want one that, that would not be, this elaborate thing. And they're actually fairly small. I think I'm going to go through with it because it's. I think for that purpose alone, Preston, to simply have a way of chronicling exactly that sort of situation would be worth it.
I have a question about that. With the video, does it record and then store a certain amount and slowly delete?
I think there's like different options.
You
right?
can do different options. Yeah. You can have like different the same way with like with you, every so you're driving for an hour, 2 hours,
you're driving around.
And then it'll record. And then if you want to save that, or you can hold on to it for a while. The storage capabilities of these things are pretty ridiculous.
I was curious if it just keeps rolling all the time and slowly deletes the tail end. Like
it's
got to
do almost like a DVR, right? So like like when you have a channel on, you can basically rewind it for an hour, without actually recording anything.
That's what I mean. The last time I really looked at these things was about a year and a half ago. So I'm sure the tech is even better now for your options. The trick would be, though, for you want to have enough storage space where someone says, were you driving, you might have seen, I think like 2 weeks is something to at least.
Wow.
So that you can hold enough information, because to figure how much time you're in a car.
Yeah.
I was just thinking a couple hours or whatever. So in case something, that's interesting.
Well, I don't know. I would assume because like with the security cameras around my house and in the house, in the cloud, you can store a lot over, I think it's at least a week and a half, 2 weeks.
Yeah. There's probably like a USB that you can plug into and what are those things called? Like a disc. What are those things called? Oh my gosh.
A USB port?
USB port, but what do you stick into the USB port? What's that called?
A zip drive.
A zip drive.
Yeah, a drive. Okay.
So there's probably, things you could take in and out, and much like the DVR, it's going to continue to record, and then if you want to capture it, like in a DVR, it's like, oh, you know what? I kind of want to hang on to this. If you just hit the record button, it's going to save whatever, however long you've had that channel on.
This is how you think it works?
This is how I think it would work.
Okay.
The tech is moving along. If anyone has one and it's a state of the art, please let us know.
First, let me go to Joe here. Hi, Joe. Good morning. Joe, you're on the air.
Oh, hey, Morgan. How we doing?
Good. What's up, Joe?
Hey, I was just trying to listen to the comment on that.
Oh, you're breaking up.
We've heard it a thousand times.
Hold on. Try again. Go ahead, Joe. You're breaking up.
Joe.
Put him on hold and come back.
All right, I'll put you on hold and come back in a minute. Let me first go to Matt, who can explain the loop recording. Hi, Matt. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, what's up, bud?
So dash cams, it's called loop recording, and they are always recording 20 seconds at a time. And so for every new second that comes, it deletes a second 20 seconds behind you. So you can act, you can have them set to activate if you get hit or something. And once it senses that, it will now keep the 20 seconds before that happened and save it. And then start recording and saving everything to the SD card or its internal memory, whatever it has.
Let me ask you, are there've got to be ones that are longer, that are, you know.
Yeah. You can set the loop. Some, I don't know, different models might be able to set for a minute and a half, 2 minutes. I'm sure there are ones that you can set it to record nonstop, and you just have to keep replacing the memory when it fills up.
Right. So if you have, I'm sure a lot of them, like, just patch right through to your phone, you know? I mean, if you're running video.
It's like your Ring doorbell.
Yeah. Like a Ring doorbell type thing.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but most of the consumer level medium models have that loop recording so that when something happens, it already caught the 30 seconds or whatever leading up to it.
Do you have one, Matt? Do you use one?
I actually just got one for Christmas for my pop, for my work van.
There you go.
It is installed, and it has 45 seconds loop recording. It's the Rovi dash cam.
I think, honestly, for businesses, too, where you're driving around, like you said, in a work van, mm-hmm. that's an invaluable thing to have.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, I'm self-employed, so if something were to happen, you know, it's my livelihood. I want to be, you know, be able to hold someone accountable.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Did you see the footage, Preston, of the guy who was booking down, I think it was in Connecticut, going 100 miles an hour. He had his dash cam on. He's acting like a lunatic. He starts to take a turn getting off. He's taking it about 80 miles an hour. Mm. They had the whole thing, all the footage from his dash cam. Oof. Into the, and now he survived because he was seat belted in.
Right.
But, you know, in some cases you can catch the driver doing crazy things.
Yeah.
So Steve, to one of your questions earlier, a friend texted me and he said that they had a pedestrian walk into her while she was driving. So this became an issue for him and his family. He works in the insurance industry. So it really helps with accident situations. He said it costs less than $200, super easy to install. Lots of options out there, and records for hours and hours at a time, up to weeks, and then records over the oldest of the data.
Huh. Interesting.
Wow. Okay. Let me go to Joe. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right. This is Joe, who was on earlier. Now we got a good signal. What's up, bud? Yeah, tell us your story.
In a bad spot there.
Yeah.
I was talking before, and I wanted to comment on the dash cam issue. I myself have been involved in an accident where dash cam came in handy. I'm a commercial driver, and I work for a company that had put dash cams in all their trucks, mm-hmm. you know, just in case, God forbid, something happens. And I was coming down Route 15 through Williamsport, and, you know, it goes two lanes to one lane for like a quarter mile, and it goes back to two lanes. Well, the guy didn't want to get stuck behind me, apparently, and tried to pass me on the shoulder, and he didn't get all the way past me when he came around, and ended up clipping the front of my truck and veering off and to the other lane of traffic and causing a major accident, keep another car and whatnot. And, you know, he went on court for, you know, a few months and whatnot. But that having that dash cam made all the difference in the world and actually pretty much saved my ass.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, it's hard to argue against a video. And that's part of the deal. Also, by the way, like, you remember when the meteor crashed? We play the sound effect of the explosion in Russia. Most of that footage, was caught on dash cams.
Wow. All right, thanks, Joe. Appreciate it, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, see ya. We got a bunch of people that have had this has helped them out. I'm going to go to BJ next. Hey, BJ.
Hey, it's actually CJ.
All right,
where's
CJ?
BJ?
Works.
What's up, bud?
And I said C as in cat, too, to try to explain that, but I guess it didn't work.
C as in bat.
Yeah, they probably heard that. All right, what's the story,
anyway,
bud?
So my dash cam has saved me so many times only because the few accidents that I've gotten into, if I didn't have the camera, it would have been one of those 50-50 scenarios that the both insurance companies would agree that it was both our fault.
No, you're right. And a tremendous amount of insurance cases end up exactly like that. So how many times, can you give a specific number, how many times you've been saved because of the dash cam?
It's a high number.
Okay.
Actually, everyone that I surround myself with, they all think that the dash cam actually jinxed me.
Like it's causing accidents now.
It's actually causing accidents, but yet I've never actually caused myself the accident. It was always someone else hitting me. So, honestly, it's jinx.
Hey, I wonder, do they have, so you're catching everything in front of the vehicle, obviously, but there are people who rear-end you, and that can happen in an accident scenario. Are there?
Well, I do have a rear camera, too, because you can get smaller ones that just go in the back, and they're all hardwired, so, like, there's no wires dangling.
Okay.
So, I mean, you can get one to go into the cigarette lighter, but, like, if you want to be safer, you just get it hardwired in, and that way, right when you turn your car on, it starts up. But another cool thing about them is if you hardwire them, once you turn your car off, it will have its parking record. So anytime it senses motion, it'll start recording, or anytime there's movement or vibrations on the car, it records.
Wow. Dude, I like that, because I've seen that, like, where people get their cars nicked or scratched or someone's...
Sure.
And they have footage of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, like, Teslas have that on.
Yeah, Teslas have that, yeah.
And it uses a low power mode, so it doesn't drain your battery.
BJ, how much does something like that cost?
Well, medium range, if you want to get a medium one that's not, like, has good quality, it's probably about, like, you know, $150 to $300.
Okay.
For a decent one. But you can get, like, still good. A $50 one is still going to save your butt.
And is that for just one or getting the front and rear?
You can get combos for that price, too.
Okay.
And another thing is what I think it was Casey that was talking about. You can, if you're actually at the accident and you want to show the police officer the footage, you can actually Wi-Fi connect to the dash cam and just download it real quick to the phone and then show the police officer at the accident.
That's wild.
It is cool. You know what might also be, like, if you don't have, say, if that's not your financial resource, pay a sketch artist to sit in the car.
Sure, the whole time.
Yeah, yeah.
Smart.
Just, you know, a good one, though, because the rendering has to be somewhat accurate.
Maybe somebody will do it for like $20.
Like a court. Like, sure. You know, yeah, office sketch artist.
Did he have a mustache?
BJ, thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Why is he holding this large tennis racket?
Well, I just wonder if I have the obviously the backup camera on my car, but I also have a little camera in the front. So, like, if I'm pulling in somewhere and I want to see how much space I have, there's just a little button that I push and it shows me how much, you know, it shows me a video of the front of my car.
Doesn't it kick in automatically? Your proximity detector probably turns on your front camera. Right.
No, not like that. I actually, you know,
roll them.
No, I'll get like beeping and stuff like that. But if I want to see the front camera, I have to hit the front button. There's just like a little button near the gear shifter. But I'm wondering if there was a way to sort of retrofit dash cam into the already existing cameras.
You'd probably be looking at somehow of effing up stuff and also avoiding the warranty on that equipment if you did it after factory.
Yeah.
But what I'm wondering, Casey, is when manufacturers will start having, or do they already as an option have a security dash cam on?
I think that's the way the Tesla system probably goes through their parking cameras as well.
Yeah.
Now, I think you're getting a 360. In the old days, you remember when you had your backup camera, you actually had to go out and slate it like in a Hollywood movie?
Yes.
Car backing up, take one.
Let me go to Leonard, who is an Uber driver. Hi, Leonard, you're on. Good morning.
I like turtles.
What's up, buddy?
Hello. Yeah, I heard you talking, and I'm driving around, and I use a dash cam, and I swear by them. I actually got in an accident. I was in Philadelphia, and some guy sideswiped my car. And then luckily he pulled over, but he tried saying that he didn't do anything illegal until I told him I had a dash cam on my car. And then he shut up and admitted to it to the police. And I submitted the footage to the insurance company, and they paid for my damages.
So let me ask you, Leonard, he sideswiped your car. Was that accident in the camera's range of vision?
Yes, I have a camera that records forward and backwards, but also has a 180 view, so it's kind of like a wide-angle view.
Okay.
So it records pretty much everything.
All right. Wow. That's wild. Because, you know, here in Philadelphia, the amount of insurance stuff is off the charts.
Like, I had it happen last year,
it's
man.
It's crazy.
I got rear-ended, and the guy completely flaked out, never paid me. And if I'd had a cam footage, it would able to hold the guy accountable.
Yeah,
you know? It really sucks. So I'm glad that it's being applied for these.
Philadelphia, Nick, is one of the worst cities in the country for it.
For what?
For insurance claims and things like that and fraud claims and stuff going in. That's why you see the commercials on TV all the time about insurance fraud's illegal.
Right, you know? Right. I'll go next to Adam. You're on the air. Adam, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys. Sorry to bother you at work.
It's okay.
Hey, I use my GoPro instead of a dash cam. I don't have a story about it or anything. Luckily, I haven't gotten into an accident with it. But
okay.
I use that instead.
All right, so you just have it like Velcroed to your dashboard, and you hit record every time you start driving?
They come with these sticky mounts that go on the, like, I mounted it to my windshield right behind my rearview mirror.
So, okay.
You know what? What you could do is use your nanny cam, the teddy bear, and just sit down on the dashboard, Preston.
So Adam, yeah. do you have to engage it every time you get in the car?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, and so you just hit record, and I haven't used my GoPro in a long time. Does it have that looping effect on it, or do you have to, you know, when your disc is full, do you record over stuff? How do you do it?
I only use it sparingly, so I haven't got to the point where I had to loop over something yet. But I think it holds my SD card holds like 5 hours of driving.
Okay. All right.
My commute's only 45 minutes, so I don't use it too much. But
so take the long way into work.
Yeah, but you can still knock that out in a week if you're, easily.
Yeah, exactly.
All okay. right, so GoPro. Right. Well, it's older tech.
I wouldn't remember to turn it on and off.
I know.
Yeah, I'd need something mm-hmm. that's specifically set to turn on when the car comes on. And
like a 16-millimeter camera.
All that stuff.
In a box.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
Sit on the deck. No, yeah, the tech is... A GoPro is more specifically for you recording that event,
right.
and that's it. I don't think it's a dash cam. It's probably the most effective way of getting what you want.
Hang on. Let me go here to Zach, who is an Uber driver as well. Hi, Zach. You're on. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. You know what they say about Uber drivers?
What?
They can't get out of the cock of duty car.
Yes. There it is.
Yeah.
Nicely.
Get out of the cock of duty car.
Well done.
Thank you, Zach.
You made Casey's day.
I love you.
All right. What's up, man?
Just saying, the past three times I've called in, I have tried to tie that one in.
So, do you use, obviously, you use cameras?
I have a dash cam. I've been doing Uber for a year and a half, and I've had, obviously, passengers can rate drivers.
Right.
And actually, as a matter of fact, drivers can rate passengers, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yep,
anyways, you can get deactivated by passengers.
Yes,
Someone were to claim that a driver was drunk or high or something like that, Uber can deactivate you. And that actually happened to me.
Okay.
So a passenger called and said I was drunk while driving. I sent Uber the video on my dash cam. They saw I clearly wasn't drunk and I clearly was driving fine. They reactivated
that. Hey, let me ask you something, Zach. Would this passenger, did they have an issue with you, or did this just come as a complete surprise?
I have an idea of which passenger it was, but they don't tell you which.
Okay. Sure, that makes sense, yeah.
To keep everything anonymous and whatnot. They just seemed in a foul mood.
Huh.
I've gone online and I've looked up, why people complain and why people make false claims. And a lot of times people are just trying to get free rides.
So yeah, which at the cost of your way of earning money, which is a complete dick move.
Mm-hmm.
So with this in the camera configuration understanding, you have a camera facing forward as well as one back into the car?
Yeah, so my camera has two. Okay. So I've got one facing in front of me. And I've got one looking inside the car. And I think since I've gotten the dash cam, I've had less complaints and less issues because some people, like I said, will complain, try to get, their money back or something like that. So this kind of cuts down just on its mere presence that, people aren't going to give me trouble. And then it's also a safety thing.
someone could rob me.
Yes. Yeah. You know, yes.
Someone could really mess me up.
Yep.
But I've got dash cam in the car, so people are already like, all right, this guy's got me on film. I probably shouldn't do anything.
Yeah. To me also, if you're a passenger, to me that also shows that the person's taking security steps, that they're probably a more cautious driver and more aware of doing things by the book.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. All right.
Interesting.
Cool.
All right. Thanks, Zach. Appreciate it, man.
Not a problem, guys. Take care.
We'll see you. Here, Zoe had one where it saved her ass one time, but she didn't even have the camera. Hi, Zoe. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, Preston. Hey, bitches.
Hey, what?
What's up, Zoe?
What's up, guys? So I got hit and run over by a car on the Ben Franklin Bridge.
Oh, my God.
Hit and run over by a car?
I got rear-ended at the light, right at Franklin, you know, right at the light where you're at the bottom of the bridge on the Pennsylvania side.
Yeah.
And it was the red light, and she just slammed into the back of me, and I was like, what the? And I jumped out of the car, and I maybe said some things to her, and she didn't like it, and so it was bumper to bumper. She had nowhere to go. As soon as the light changed, she couldn't get around me, so she just drove over me.
What?
On the bridge. Thankfully, I didn't even have a dash cam, but a box truck who was two cars behind her got the whole thing on camera, license plate, went to the police with, waited with me for the ambulance, went to the police.
Wow.
Picked her up 2 hours later.
What a godsend, because, you know, talking about like the Ring cameras and things like that, security cameras around the house, there's been a couple of incidents where I've been able to help neighbors, you know, get this stuff that otherwise, I mean, if you didn't have that camera, Zoe, as people say, it's one word against the other person's word and you don't know exactly what happened. It was right there.
Zoe, a couple of questions. Number one, were you hurt bad?
Incredibly, yes. I'm still technically in recovery.
Oh, my God.
I have lifelong injuries to my back.
Oh, Jesus. All right. And then when did you ever face this woman in court?
Oh, well, it's funny because we're friends of friends on Facebook. She's an attorney.
She's an attorney and she drove
she
over
She was
you.
An attorney. She's going to jail, attorney. Right?
She's an... No. You know what? She did not go to jail. It's so messed up that Delaware River Port Authority takes over when you're on the bridge. There's no, technically Philadelphia police don't have that jurisdiction. Neither do New Jersey. It's Port Authority. So it's really messed up. It's so messed up. The case went for years, but I got paid, thank God, because there was no disputing it.
What the hell?
She was a lawyer.
How can this?
Oh, and not to mention she owns.
I didn't hear.
So,
yeah. Okay. All right. Interesting. All right. Thank you, Zoe.
That's crazy.
Hey, no That's problem. Wild, man. A hit and run. Well, thank God there was the camera two cars back. So that's another thing. You can also assist if you've got one of these.
Yeah. I mean, happens. You would have been, again, in multiple cases we've heard, you've been, especially just that thing, that lousy move of going and I've heard about it before, Casey, about jumping up on the car and claiming you were hit.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a scam as old as it gets, and yet it still works.
Yeah, my friend is a police officer, and they were doing an emergency drill. And so they had like a SEPTA bus, an old SEPTA bus that they like flipped over to its side. And so this is like a training exercise for the emergency responders. And somebody had happened to cross this. Thought that it was an active crash scene and ended up laying down, acting as if they were one of the victims on the bus.
My God.
Come on.
What?
Oh, yeah, you'd mentioned this.
Yes.
It's insane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, I hurt so much. Oh, my back. My neck and my back.
I love it. Right, well, anyhow, it's something I want to look into. I need to. I definitely would like to get the dash cams. Speaking of the cameras, though, they're putting them up in work zones. PennDOT is, and these are speeding cameras. They're going to make sure that you're not speeding through these marked areas. And I've got a couple of locations where there are five work zones with cameras that are going to be used right now. Berks County. I-78 between mile markers 35 and 43 in Bucks County, Route 1 at 276 where 276 and wait, 276 is the turnpike.
Turnpike,
right?
Yeah. There's a lot of construction right there.
So the turnpike and Route 1, that whole.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, dude, they're completely coming back from parks.
I know, yeah.
Totally.
Preston, I got turned around.
Yeah.
It was like an M.C. Escher painting.
Yeah.
I'm like, where am I going?
I'll tell you what, though, what they're doing, that merge off of the turnpike to Route 1 was, I mean, it was scary. So what they're doing is, I think, going to be, you know, a lot better in the end.
It's one of the main reasons I never liked going over that way because of how poorly designed that those merges are. So, all right, so there's cameras in there in Monaco, 476 between mile markers 31 and 38.
That'd be on your stretch or just north, right?
So, like, well, it's
heading up to Quakertown.
Yeah.
There's all that construction going on up there.
That's correct, because I'm around mile marker 30, so it's 31 to 38. And then on Route 1 in Philly at Wayne Avenue Viaduct.
On the Boulevard.
Oh, okay. All right, so that's... those are the locations.
So if you're driving along and you see in your rearview mirror a porta potty with the lights on.
Yeah, watch out. No, but there are going to be speed cameras, so you got to watch it because your first offense, you get a warning letter, second offense, $75 fine, third offense, $150 fine, and possibly beyond. So it can be pretty steep. All right, let's take a break. We're going to talk to actor Joe Mantegna in a little while, and also your chance to win $500 with a watch and win with the Dr. Oz Show. That's coming up at 9:30. We'll return with those things and more when we get back. Stay with us.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Noticed a couple things. Yes, I did. I have...
ladies and gentlemen, he's returned.
I put on my mask. Oh, God. Okay.
He notices things that you don't want to, things that you don't have to notice across a field down a dark alley. Ladies and gentlemen, he is the noticer.
All right. I noticed this, and it would be so wonderful. It's never, ever, ever going to happen in this country we live in. But Finland's Prime Minister, Sanna Marin, has overhauled the work week there by introducing a four-day work week comprised of six-hour days.
What?
Yeah, six-hour days, 4 days a week.
Wait, they're only working 24 hours a week?
Yeah, so, but listen to this. She cites allowing workers to spend more time with family and enjoy their lives, culture and hobbies, and as the reason for the change. And up until now, the work week was 5 days a week, eight hours a day, same as here, which is the standard, although a lot of people work more than 8 hours a week.
Sure.
Or 8 hours a day. But Sweden underwent a similar trial in 2015, found that working only 6 hours a day increased productivity. In November, Microsoft Japan introduced a three-day weekend for employees, and productivity went up by almost 40%.
No way.
Because people work harder while they're there.
I guess.
Instead of dawdling and wasting time.
But you've got a few case examples of this type of thing working.
Yeah.
You know?
Why are you exhaling over there, Steve?
Because it seems so good.
It does, doesn't it?
And I don't, you know, I don't know. It does make sense because a lot of times in the course of a day, you know, in other words, how much actual productive work time is engaged in during the course of an 8 hour day? All right. So you have your lunch, you take an hour for lunch and then other stuff. And times when you're just doing your deal. If you were motivated, and the trick is to be motivated to go in, and you're going to do 6 hours, and you're going to work, and you're going to really get stuff productive. My guess is also you might be prompted to take some stuff home and work from home, but at your own pace,
right?
You know,
you're more likely to fill those 6 hours and work if you know that if you don't get it done, you're not getting that 3 day weekend. Do you know what I mean? So if it is reduced, you're going to work harder to make sure you can have those days off.
But there's so many different kinds of jobs, and that's the thing.
What jobs require certain things. There are certain things that just require you to be on site. It's like if you're a guard at a place. Yeah. You know, you've got to be there when you've got to be there.
Or if you're an assembly line worker, it's like it's moving. You do not stop.
Unless you can have the conveyor belt run through your house.
Right. Unless you've got, you know, mandated breaks, that's when you take a break. But otherwise, you're not, you don't have idle time. You're working the whole time.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, I really do wonder how long has this calendar been going on? 2,000 years?
The 3 years.
No, what, the Gregorian. The 8-hour day.
Oh, the calendar?
Yeah, the 7 day a week. How long is this? Have we been going by the 7 day a week thing? Because we talked about this a while back and we made up a new month.
Yeah, Farch.
Farch was a new month.
Right. February and March.
Right.
Because do you foresee us ever
adding months?
Ever having a different looking work week? Like, could we add just, you still have your three, you can't get by the fact that there are 365 days in a year. You know, that's just how long it takes the earth to go around the sun. So that's never going to change.
I'll tell you
this. Could you add another day to the week so you have a 3 day work week, a 3 day weekend, and you still have a 5 day work week?
No, I don't think that's going to happen.
Why can't you do
that? I think what's going to happen is because of the way things change work wise. I'll tell you, like, I've had this discussion about autonomous cars and things of that nature. As we start to get there, what will the work week look like when your car is driving you autonomously to work and you can sit in the car and work? Or in other words, how much work is already shifting a lot to the home? I think that's what's going to change the complexion of the work week sooner than this stuff.
15 years ago, I had a friend who had a job here in Philadelphia and wanted to live in Colorado, and he works in the tech industry, and his boss said, yes, you can do that. And to me, that was shocking. Now, that's not at all shocking.
No.
People, you know, we talked about the van there, people, where she has a job in her van, and she can work remotely. Occasionally, a few times a year, she has to go in the
office.
She's
a scientist. She's working out of the van.
And she works out of the van.
Yeah.
My brother, Adam, lives in Virginia. His entire family moved to Southern Virginia. He can now do some of his job, which is in Arlington, Virginia, from Southern Virginia. So this ability to work from wherever you are is increasing, right? So the amount of work that's being done isn't going down at all. And the ability to work from wherever you can is going up. So all that really matters at the end of the day is that you're getting the work done.
A
good boss will look at you as an employee and say, are you getting the work done? And if so, you can do it from wherever you want.
I'm sorry, Steve. I'm assuming this story, it's from Finland's prime minister. I'm assuming that's government workers because...
That's what I'm assuming,
you
too.
You can't mandate.
You can't make... you can't.
Right, what the private...
But that's probably something that would be...
It says here, the entire country in a 4 day work week.
Wow. Okay.
And Finland and Scandinavian countries are different than other places.
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, the sun never sets.
Sometimes.
In the summer. Yeah.
Let me
Preston
go.
went there once and didn't even know it.
Drank till midnight, and I'm like, it's still light out.
It's Scottsbreak. When did you go penny pie?
Let me go to Dan, because he works a government job. Hi, Dan. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Good morning. You guys rock.
Thanks, man. What's up, buddy?
I wanted to chime in. I also... I do work for the government, and they allow different comprised work schedules. So I do work a 4-10-hour day work week. So I have my 3-day weekend. I have Fridays off, which is pretty cool, unless I'm working overtime or anything. But so, I still get the 3 days off, and I get the 40 hours in. So.
Do you mind working 10-hour days?
No, it takes a little getting used to in the beginning, but now 10-hour days is just like a regular 8-hour day to me. So if I ever do work an 8-hour day, it's kind of like a half day to me.
I don't know if I'd want to do a 10-hour work day. Okay,
well, take the converse situation then, Dan. Could you think if you were given a what were you talking? Were you talking 24 hours? Was that the model that we're talking about
in Finland?
Right.
Yeah.
The 24-hour work week. Could you achieve everything you needed to if you knew that you were getting that additional time off, but that you had 24 hours. Could you complete what you needed to complete during that schedule you currently have in that time?
Yeah, because, especially with the work that I do, you have a queue, you have a work queue, and you have a certain amount of work that you have to accomplish. So, I mean, if you get it done in, 8 hours, you get it done in 8 hours, I mean, obviously you could always take on more work.
Yeah.
But you get used to it.
I think
nurses work 3 12-hour day shifts, kind of a thing.
My brother's a police officer, and he's, they have different schedules, a couple days on, a couple days off, and all of this stuff. It's what they do become used to. Again, it's how I'm hearing from you, Preston, and what the data shows is that the productivity skips up because they are perhaps more rested, more engaged, or more interested in completing the work. They know they have a set time.
That's what I haven't seen. I haven't seen why.
Why, yeah.
What the direct why it's more productive, why right. productivity has gone up. Yeah.
So I had a cousin who worked for a European company. She was here. She was based in the United States. She was based in this area, but her company was out of Europe. I forget exactly where, but they worked a 9-month year. So she could take 3 months worth of vacation and they could take it all together if they wanted to, you know, like she took a full month and they went over to Europe and they spent a month in Europe. But same thing. She also, I believe it was a shortened work week. I don't remember exactly if she did 10 hours or 12 hours or what she did, but she definitely didn't work Monday through Friday, and she said it was amazing. You know, it took some getting used to because her form, you know, her job prior to that was, you know, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday. So it took some getting used to, but she loved it.
Yeah, and our relatives in Sweden are the same way. They're like, they'll take a month-long vacation.
Yeah.
A month-long vacation. I can't even imagine. It'd be phenomenal.
And you can make your own hours when you're like a hooker.
Yeah.
You know, and you
sure.
can.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I need some money.
Yeah.
By the way, some of this Finland stuff is not entirely accurate. They,
okay.
they updated it today. They were exploring it in August, but it's not really on the agenda for getting done. So there was an update on Bloomberg News this morning.
I mean, I've been sold a bag of...
Well, not
you
entirely.
Did, Plymouth Rock landed on you.
Yeah, man.
This was just an idea that was floated when she was running. Now she's actually the prime minister, and it's not on the agenda to get done.
In fact, she wants to expand the work week till Saturday.
Well, I tell you what. Well, I noticed something else, and it ties right into
something.
You
noticed something, but it wasn't really what we thought it was initially.
It ties into something you said, Mr. Announcer.
Thank you.
This is a group of lawmakers has introduced a bill for the 2020 session that would decriminalize sex work in the state of Vermont.
Huh.
The bill, only 4 pages long, would simply repeal current sex work statutes prohibiting the act. Human trafficking and the sale of sex that is coerced in any form would still be illegal under the legislation, but it would decriminalize the sale of sex between two consenting adults. Representative Celine Colburn said that she introduced the bill primarily to protect sex workers from the risks inherent in the illicit profession. Research has shown that where sex work is criminalized, sex workers experience far higher rates of sexual and physical violence from their clients and abuse from law enforcement. By decriminalizing sex work, the act wouldn't become a legal regulated market, Colburn explained. Simply, sex work would not be illegal in the state, so charges would not be brought against the sex worker or the person paying for sex. And this is a step that Colburn wants to make because she doesn't view sex work as a public safety threat.
See, I excelled on that one, too, because here's do they routinely, is this like a real low-level offense right now? In other words, like here in Philadelphia.
It depends, because there'll be stings that happen, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden it gets on somebody's agenda where they have to get busted, and they'll go out and they'll make arrests where they can because they know that they can. But the destigmatization of sex workers, I think, is an important thing.
But I think Steve's question is besides the public shaming and the trouble you might get in that regard, what's the actual legal issues that you
right.
face if you're busted? Say you're a John.
Yeah.
And you're busted with a prostitute.
You do jail time.
What kind of a fine? Do you go to jail? I don't know what
I
it
think
is.
It seems to be pretty low.
Slap on the wrist and you're in and you're out.
Because okay. I was watching a documentary, actually.
Which you can pay for.
Yeah, please. Yeah. Can you spank my ass instead?
Slap my wrist and
that finger looks a little free. I was watching a documentary last night on the cartels and human trafficking, and the human trafficking and the sex trafficking in particular is neck and neck and has actually eclipsed drugs for them. The amount of money to be made off of it is crazy what's going on in Mexico, and to that level it's wild. So I don't know. It's I would like to work 24 hours if we could.
Right.
Yeah. I'm gonna split that up into two 12-hour days.
Yeah, if you had the if it was placed on the ballot, sex, paid for sex or a 4-day work week.
Yeah.
1 4-day work week.
Yeah, there you go.
That's when the whores come in.
While conversations about decriminalizing sex work in the United States are picking up steam, only some states have introduced legislation considering the idea. If passed, Vermont would become the first state in the nation to decriminalize sex work.
Well, they lead the nation in maple syrup. I know that.
Nevada, by the way, is the only state in the nation where a few counties have legalized sex work. It's technically not a statewide.
Yeah,
it's not
Vegas. Know that.
It's illegal in Vegas.
So is it like Vegas?
They can advertise it in Vegas, but you can actually have sex acts legally in Vegas.
Oh, get out. I didn't know that. See, yeah. I just thought. And so wait, where's the Bunny Ranch at then?
Outside.
It's outside of Vegas.
Okay.
I told you, my friend went a couple times to it, and it's a pricey option.
It's in Carson City, right?
I don't know. I'll look it up.
It's in Johnny Carson City. I just, whatever they can do to cut down on sex trafficking, you know, like I'm all for that.
You know, it's horrific.
I mean, if they just, and I'm just saying, if legalization of prostitution, if that happened countrywide, and that in turn got rid of sex trafficking, then like I'm all for it. Have a you know, a whorehouse in every county on every corner. I don't care.
I promise you a chicken in every pot and a whorehouse on every corner.
Casey's running for office.
Progress is his middle name.
Yeah. I see a day when we'll have a whorehouse on every corner. Casey. I want to be known as the Hall House President.
By the way, the Moonlight Bunny Ranch is in Carson City.
Yeah, which is the capital of the state.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it'd be like having a whorehouse in Harrisburg.
Wow.
And a whorehouse on every corner.
And in Harrisburg. I love it. Question, Casey. Programming question.
Yeah.
As we're approaching 9:30, do we break now, or do we stick around and do the Dr. Oz thing and talk to Joe Mantegna? What do we got to do here?
Man, I'm really torn on this one. I think we should let's ask the Dr. Oz question now. I don't know.
No, I can't do that till 9:30.
I can't do it.
Yeah.
I promised people that it was going to be at 9:30. That means 9:30 or later.
We've got 4 minutes. Let's solve the sex trafficking issue and then move on.
Well, I have some other stories, and that's why.
You know what? I got an idea. Why don't we take a break and come back?
Okay.
All right.
Let's do
that.
How
about World Hunger?
All right. That's,
we are not going to play a song on the other end of this. So...
Man, I only got to notice two things.
Oh, yeah, that's all
right. Well, I have other things.
Well, now we have 3 minutes.
We'll notice them later. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back in just a second. But when we return, if you did happen to watch the Dr. Oz show yesterday, your opportunity to win $500 with a question that I'll ask about that show. So we'll come back, and actor Joe Mantegna, who's great, he'll be on. We'll be back in just a moment.
Happy New Year.
It's great when people wish you a Happy New Year, right?
Happy New Year to you.
Well, MMR wishes you... an Happy New Year, and invites you to download the latest version of the MMR app. It keeps you up to date with everything that rocks and allows you to take MMR along wherever travels in the new year may lead. It's easy to use, as well as Apple CarPlay and Android Auto compatible. And of course, it's free. Whether it's older software or you got a brand new phone, get the latest version of the MMR app on Google Play or the iTunes Store. Or text APP to 39333.
Message and data rates may apply.
So, Happy New Year from 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
All right, we got to get right back into things. Two things I want to do here. I want to get our guest on, but first I have to do this. We had mentioned we have a watch and win.
We do.
With our buddy Dr. Oz. So, essentially, you watch the show. The next day, we have a question about that show. We're going to give away $500 for the correct answer. And I'll take we'll start with the eighth caller. Okay, we'll start with caller number eight and see if we can get an answer to this question. On yesterday's show, Dr. Oz talks about his brand new health plan for 2020 called System 20. The cornerstone of this plan is intermittent fasting. And on the System 20 plan, your last meal of the day should end by 7 p.m. What time should you eat again the next day? All right. What time should you wait until you eat again the next day? 215-263-WMMR. Do I give them it says multiple choice here. Do I give them a multiple choice?
No. You can.
No.
Do you want to be generous or do you want to really put them to task?
I'm going to put them to task. Let's see if they know the answer.
$500?
215-263 WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. Maybe our guest knows the answer. I don't know.
He might
be a huge Dr. Oz fan.
Might be a doctor himself.
He's been on Criminal Minds for 15 years, so 15 seasons.
Must have picked up something.
It's their final season. Yeah, it's not a doctor show, though.
I know, but it's a procedural.
They interact with doctors from time to time, so maybe he knows that. I'm going to shut up now, and I'm going to welcome actor Joe Montaigne.
Yay!
To the show. Good morning, Joe.
I think you should eat whenever damn time you feel like
$500.
There's a logical take on how many times you should eat and when you should eat.
For Joe. Hey, man, congratulations. It's the final season of Criminal Minds. Has to be bittersweet, of course.
Yeah, I mean, it was obviously, it's been a tremendous ride. We've become very close, everybody, cast, crew, and everyone. But, you know, everything comes to an end, and I'm glad we had the ride that we did.
Is this the longest gig you've ever had, longest consistent job?
The only one that comes close or actually exceeds it is The Simpsons. I've been playing Fat Tony for 30 years.
Yeah.
And so, but that, you know, that's sporadic. In other words, I go in maybe once or twice a season, and I'm not always there with the whole cast, and so it's a little different. But in terms of continual, you know, working pretty much every day and seeing everybody all the time, yeah, this has certainly been the longest run I've had. Yeah.
That has to be a special bond. I've always thought that, like, you know, when you're part of a stage play or something like that, there's got to be a real familial sense. And then to be with these people and doing this, you know, again, as you said, it's bittersweet. But so as you start to know that this is wrapping up, you know, you have been you've done leads as well, but you're a character actor. Your ability to do all these different things is there. What's in the plan for you after this? I mean, you know, what are you going to take a breather? Because it's been a long run.
Well, you know, I've never been a planner in that sense. In my entire career, it's been one of those things where I'm fortunate to really love what I do.
Right.
And I've just been kind of doing it ever since, you know, I started getting involved with it late in high school. And so it's one of those things that you kind of keep yourself in the game, you keep at it, and then a door opens and you kind of peek through it. And if the opportunity is there, you try it out, and there, you know, one thing leads to another. So it's that kind of thing. I've never been that person to say, okay, now I'm going to try to do this next and that next or this next. You know, it just kind of things happen. The Criminal Minds happen that way. I mean, I get a phone call on one day that's saying, you know, look, they're looking for, you know, Mandy Patinkin has decided to leave the show. Hmm. They're looking for somebody to come in. Your name came up. They want to meet with you. And next thing I know, for the next 13 seasons, I'm doing this show.
Yeah.
You know, Joe, Steve and I, and actually the whole cast here on our show has had the opportunity to do a couple TV shows. Specifically, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. We have a connection and friends in that program. And it seems to me, and I'm curious if you can corroborate this, it seems to our limited experience that the people that know more of anyone and everyone and all that's going on television shows are the hair and makeup people.
Oh, without question.
Right? That's the impression that I got. Because they sit down, everybody goes through them, and I think they know more gossip about anybody than anyone else that works in those programs.
Oh, yeah, and I would think on a lot of programs, the drama is better in the makeup and hair trailer than in front of the cameras, you know. So, I mean, I always said that should be the show sometimes is what they're doing in there. But, exactly.
But there's a ton of behind-the-scenes people for a show that's been going on for 15 years that I'm sure have been there since day one that won't get the recognition that you and the, you know, the faces of the show get, you know?
Yeah, well, that's the nature of the business. Yeah. You know, it's a public profession for some of us in it, and it's not for the others. But every job is just as important. So it's all, when it works, there's a reason it works, and it's because everybody's doing their job well.
You know, it's an interesting thing about these procedural shows that they just suck you in, and there's something about them. I mean, we're all fascinated with the process of you know, acquiring this information, and it's a formula that works. Were you a fan of this a type of show prior to joining the show?
You know, actually not, and still not, in the sense that I don't watch a lot of that kind of television. Period. I mean, I mainly watch like the National Geographic station and sports and stuff. But to me, it's like Busman's Holiday. I don't watch a lot of movies or television in that respect. But yet, I totally understand it when I'm doing it, and I get engrossed in the process and what the shows are about. But I'm always amazed, like, when I get the letters from the fans who are really, really into it, and I appreciate that. In other words, it's just a matter of taste. It's like when somebody's saying, well, look, I love chocolate ice cream, I just don't. You know, I'd rather not have the vanilla, and that's fine. You know, so no, it wasn't like I was addicted to all these procedural kind of shows or shows that have, you know, long runs like that. But that's me, you know.
Well, let me ask you, because you are you brought up the Fat Tony character from The Simpsons. You are really adept at comedy. I would love to see you go into something like that, something like on a Netflix or something that can allow you to flex those muscles. Would that entice you? Do you like the comedy stuff equally?
Oh yeah, I love it. I mean, you know, I did movies like Airheads and Baby's Day Out and, you know, other things that were more comic oriented and
the Money
Pit.
But
again, it's like whatever. Yeah, Money Pit. So whatever door opens, you take the cards that you're dealt and you go with it. But so we'll see. I mean, like I say, I've got a couple possibility of things out there. I did shoot a pilot for that we're waiting to hear on. I'm supposed to direct something in the spring. So, you know, I've had a pretty blessed life. I've been able to kind of make a pretty good living doing what I love to do. So that puts me, you know, ahead of the game.
I have to ask you, for the Money Pit, the character you play, the contractor, had you encountered a contractor like that in your own life? Or did you? Because it's as spot on as you can get.
Yeah. Actually, I've had pretty good luck with contractors. In fact, my assistant, who I've had for like 18 years, was a former contractor. I've had actually good luck with contractors, but I can relate to it. Yeah, absolutely. I definitely can relate to guys like Art Shirk, my character I played.
Joe, I don't know if this is the case every time, but Nick here in our studio pulled up your IMDb page, and next to your picture, you had mentioned this. I guess this represents your body of work. It's the trailer for Baby's Day Out is right next. It's the first thing that comes up.
I love that movie.
It's a great movie.
That movie is, to me, is sort of a Looney Tunes cartoon realized. And it's got a good heart and it's fun. I kid you not, it's referenced that. And we play many drops of you as Fat Tony. It's a fun movie. What do you get recognized for that surprises you the most?
Well, it's usually interesting. It usually depends on the type of person. Like, in other words, I see a guy kind of approach me, and he's got, like, I mean, it looks like he stepped out of the 60s. I mean, it's going to be a guy saying, hey, man, Airheads, you know, I love that, you know, that kind of thing.
Airheads, yeah.
And then when I'm at the airport or something, I might hear the baggage handler guys yelling, hey, Joey Zaza, you know, from Godfather 3 or something like
that.
So it really depends what crowd I'm around or something like that, and what age group it is, you know.
Well, I might be showing my age here, but earlier in the interview when you had said that you like watching National Geographic and you like watching sports, I was like, wait a second. You were a super fan in one of the Saturday Night Live episodes, were you not? Did you not play one of the Thub Bears?
I was the original.
You were the original?
Yeah, they wrote the skit for me because I was, you know, I was from Chicago. I was hosting Saturday Night Live, and so Robert Smigel, who wrote the skit, came up with this idea of, you know, Dub Bears. So I did the original one, and thinking, okay, it'd be fun. It was about Chicago and the Bears and Joe's from Chicago. And then I think because it took off to such, I mean, the response on it, I guess the next day in Chicago, they ran that thing on the radio like 24 hours. George Wendt hosted the show a couple weeks later, and so they made George my brother. And so I was like Bill Swirsky. He became Bob Swirsky type of thing. And so that George did it numerous times. And they would always ask me to fly in to do it. And I said, look, guys, I can't keep flying to New York every week to do the skit. But I did wind up doing it one more time with George and I think Danny DeVito.
Nice.
And actually there was a movie written about it. But when Chris Farley passed away, the movie idea kind of went south. It was a lot of fun.
It stuck for a while, as has Criminal Minds, of course. So we know you got to run, but it's tomorrow night. The new season kicks off, two episodes back-to-back. So this is it, though, and a lot of cool guest appearances happening this season and stuff, so everybody should tune into that. Joe, it's always great to have you on. Thanks a lot, man. We'll talk to you down the road, okay?
My pleasure. Take care.
Joe Montaigne.
Yay!
He's great, man.
He is.
Love him. All right. Oh, we skipped traffic. Let us do that now. NJM Insurance Group traffic. Kathy, what's going on? Wait, this is a bizarre
happening.
We need music. Go ahead. What's going on, Kat?
95 northbound, we've got stop traffic between Bridge Street and Cottman Avenue, and that's because of an overturned vehicle. Two left lanes are blocked southbound. Heavy from the Betsy Ross Bridge through to Girard once you get to the Vine. Westbound, that's slowing 95 to Broad Street, the Ben Franklin Parkway to the Schuylkill. Eastbound from the Ben Franklin Parkway to Broad Street. Blue Route northbound jams McDade Boulevard to Route 1 southbound. Route 1 to Media, McDade to 95 east on the Schuylkill, slowing the Blue Route to Belmont. And then heavy the Boulevard into Spring Garden. Westbound jams Vera Avenue to South Street, the Boulevard to Belmont. Slow again from the curve to Gulf Mills. 309 in both directions at Unionville Pike. This is in Hatfield. There's construction work there, so there's lane closures. And then we've got the off-ramp closed on 55 northbound. If you're getting off at Route 47, well, you can't. The off-ramp is closed because of an accident. This traffic report brought to you by Allstate. If you haven't quoted Allstate lately, it's the perfect time. Now, Allstate has new lower auto rates. Call a local Allstate agent today and get a quote now. And that's your traffic on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, let's get those stories to you in the Bizarre File form.
Now, WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
Let's see what we got here, gang. We'll start with a 42-year-old Mansfield Township woman is in hot water after cashing a check that she believed was sent to her by New Kids on the Block boy band member Jordan Knight.
Out of the blue?
Well, Cynthia Salvador said she received a phone call from someone who said that she had introduced himself as Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block and said he wanted to send her a $2,700 check to cash and then send the money to a charity in Nigeria.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah.
That's so nice of Jordan Knight. That's a to help out the people of Nigeria the way that band does.
He's a giver.
It's inspiring.
Salvadori received the check and cashed it at Anderson Cash Checking, and she deposited $2,000 into an account at a bank and purchased $700 in gift cards, which those accounts were given to him, police said. Police responded to Anderson Cash Checking in reference to a fraudulent check, and through an investigation, it was determined that Salvadori was scammed.
So, no.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't really Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block.
By the way, I got two calls last week that I had won Publishers Clearing House for like $4 million.
Wow.
And I have a claim code.
That's $8 million.
That's like, yeah. I mean, should I call them back?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Kidding me? Please. Kathy covered this in news, but that was a few hours ago, so I'm going to get to this. A Walmart in Pennsylvania is facing a bed bug infestation after someone released the parasitic insects in a man's changing room. So somebody did it on purpose.
You know who did it?
Uh-uh.
Jordan Knight.
Oh, my God. Well, he's got to balance out that.
Absolutely.
You know, being such a great guy. A manager at the store in Edinburgh found a closed pill bottle with live bugs crawling inside and reported it to the authorities, police said in a release. The bottle was found inside a boy's jacket, which was for sale. The health safety company Ecolab confirmed that the insects were bed bugs. An Ecolab employee also reported seeing bedbugs crawling around the men's changing rooms the same day.
Did they get into a fight with the bedbugs that were already there?
That usually happens at Walmart, right? A Walmart employee later found a second closed pill bottle containing dead bedbugs in the men's department. So they're investigating. They're trying to find out what happened there. A South Carolina prison escapee was back behind bars on New Year's Day after spending 40 years on the lam.
Wow.
Jose Romero was part of a prison work crew when he took off on December 13th, 1979, with 7 years to go on an 18-year-old prison sentence for armed robbery. He was apprehended Wednesday in Dover, Delaware, where he was living under the name Arnaldo Figueroa, and he became a fugitive when he was 24. His eventual undoing was December 28th. It was an arrest for public intoxication and trespassing in Dover. Police processed the case under his assumed name. His proof of identity was an identification card from the Delaware Department of Motor Vehicles that had been issued to Arnaldo Figueroa. But police also took his fingerprints, which came back 2 days later after the arrest Romero, who was a wanted subject out of South Carolina.
Wouldn't you turn your life around and just, I mean, come on.
Well, I mean, for 40 years, you did
40,
okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So
went to a party.
Police said officers took Romero into custody Wednesday morning after seeing him as they drove him around looking for him. And back in the custody of the South Carolina Department of Corrections, he will have to complete his original sentence plus serve more time for escaping.
How much did they tag on, did they say?
They didn't say. I'm not really sure. Yeah. A San Jose couple returned to their home Thursday night to discover that someone had been in their backyard, apparently to steal water from them. What Lori Kamal and her husband discovered was a series of connected hoses running from their backyard for about a half mile.
Oh, my God.
Toward an encampment.
Wow.
And there were, she said, there were some homeless that had pulled water by using their water hose. They pulled it up to the creek for a half mile, extracting water from our residents.
They had a half mile long hose?
They connected.
Okay.
There were a series of them connected together. Kamal said that she was very upset that someone had been in their backyard while their young teenage daughter was home alone. Kamal said she also found an electrical extension cord and believes that the thieves may have been planning to steal her electricity, too. Kamal said that when she posted about the issue on Nextdoor, several other neighbors said that they had similar problems. Kamal called police but said that they told her that without a suspect, there really wasn't much that they could do about it. A woman is suing TripAdvisor after a runaway camel tossed her to the ground during a tour in Morocco.
I don't think it's TripAdvisor's fault.
I don't think so either.
Yeah.
Brianne Ayala is accusing Massachusetts-based TripAdvisor and its subsidiary, Viator, of negligence and breach of contract for failing to ensure that the camel tour company was operating safely. Ayala, who is from New Jersey, and her family booked a sunset camel tour in Morocco through Viator.
Sunset camel tours.
Ayala claims that she and her family did not receive a safety briefing before the tour. And during the tour, one of the handlers told Ayala that the camel that she was riding was pregnant and was about a month away from giving birth. The camel ran off from the caravan, causing Ayala to fall off and break her arm. The handlers waited to call an ambulance until the tour company owner arrived about an hour later. Ayala underwent...
What do you want?
Ayala underwent surgery in Morocco and was hospitalized for 2 days.
It's a camel.
Her attorney said what was supposed to happen didn't happen, and I don't think you can say it was that it's at your own risk. Too bad. You can't say that. So anyhow, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for now. Sunset.
Camel sunset. Yeah, how about a romantic sunset camel tour?
All right. We're going to take a break. Oh, no, we're not.
No,
we are not. We're going to find out who knows the answer to the question. I should have done this before the bizarre file, and I'm sorry you held on so long. But we had a question about the Dr. Oz show. Yesterday, Dr. Oz talked about his brand new health plan for 2020 called System 20. The cornerstone of this plan is intermittent fasting. On the System 20 plan, your last meal of the day should end by 7 p.m. What time should you eat again the next day? I'm going to Eric, see if he knows the answer. Hey, Eric, how you doing?
You guys rock. If I can stop laughing at you guys, I'll tell you.
All right. Do tell, sir. No, what time?
If I told you what you guys covered in my lifetime today, it would be ridiculous.
Oh, really? Just in today's show?
Steve, I could tell you what they do for a broken right toe because I did it. And riding a camel, I had a camel pee on his tail and whip my brother's leg and fly to the Philadelphia Zoo.
Wow. So we're hitting all the bullet points.
And you should eat your first meal at 11 a.m.
Yes, he's right. 11 a.m. is correct. Eric.
You rock. I am shaking right now because this money could not have come at a better time.
Oh, that's awesome.
I am happy to hear that. Well, $500 in your pocket, Eric. Congratulations, buddy.
You guys have a wonderful day and happy freaking New Year.
You got it, buddy. Hang on and we'll get your information. The happy man.
Awesome. Yeah,
you can get
great.
A daily. No, we'll do it again tomorrow. You can get a daily dose of the Dr. Oz show each day. Dr. Oz offers health tips, true crime stories, food investigations, and celebrity interviews. Watch the Dr. Oz show weekdays at 2 on Fox 29. And today, the case against R. Kelly, his younger brother, speaks out about his family's abusive past on the Dr. Oz show. Should be pretty interesting. So we'll have a question about today's program tomorrow around this time, around 9:30. So do watch, because just like Eric, you heard how happy he is.
Easy money.
You can win $500. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. Still got to go to winner for Tattoos Day. So you still got a little bit of time. Text word tattoo 39333 and see if you can win a tattoo from our friends at world famous Philadelphia Eddie's Tattoo. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals.
Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're going to do today's lesson question, and we are going to give away a four-pack of tickets as the Wings are facing off against the Warriors in their home opening. Home opener. The home opening is on Friday at the Wells Fargo Center. So the question that I have for you this morning, when running for office, Casey's platform will include what on every corner? 215-263-WMMR. Wasn't that long ago. It was about an hour and a half ago. So let's see if you know the answer. Well, Casey was running for... It wasn't an hour and a half ago. It was a half hour ago.
Well, close.
When Casey was running for mayor, are you kidding me?
I swear to God, that's...
We actually... Is this...
Greg Monahan.
Greg Monahan has made up a campaign sign for Casey already.
You're a whorehouse president.
All right, so
you just gave away the
answer. Oh, Casey's platform will include one on every corner. 215-263-WMMR. Oh my God,
it's this is my gift.
So funny.
We're so well done.
Do the trash while you're calling in.
Yeah.
Here we go.
The trash business is a gold mine. 93.3
WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, what's up in the trash this morning, Steve?
Well, the LA County DA yesterday charging Harvey Weinstein, as you said, Preston, with additional sex charges that could land him in prison for 28 years. And to make matters worse, Weinstein ended up in a roadside ditch after one of the tennis balls on his walker blew out.
Oh my God.
It's horrible. Brielle Bierman from The Real Housewives of Atlanta posting pictures of on Instagram after opting to let her very large lip fillers dissolve. Bierman says she's very happy with the results because she's always wanted a mouth labia. And finally, Bachelor star Peter Weber saying he has no interest in becoming a star, preferring the life of a private pilot. Weber says he loves the sky because, quote, that's where the clouds live. That's your Hollywood trash.
I enjoyed watching Bill shake his head when you said mouth labia. He's in the corner here in the studio. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this. When running for office, Casey's platform will include a what on every corner? 215-263-WMMR, and I'm going to go to Mark for the answer. Hey, Mark, good morning.
Hey, Gadzooks, guys.
Gadzooks. All right, what does Casey want on every corner?
A whorehouse,
yeah. Yes. Hang on, Mark. We're going to get your information.
That's when the whores come in.
All right, we're going to set you up, my friend, and we're going to give you a four-pack of tickets as the Wings face off against the Warriors. I see what you're doing here, Casey.
Yeah, man.
The Warriors.
Bang, bang.
They're from Vancouver, by the way, in their home opener this Friday at the Wells Fargo Center, and you can experience nonstop action, fun for the whole family, and enjoy dollar hot dogs. Get tickets at wingslax.com. Let's get to music news.
Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Watch your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of the women.
The lamentation of the women. You know what? I'm going to ask Bill if we can make an announcement this morning in Music News about what you told us in the meeting. In a meeting yesterday about an announcement coming up, or do we want to wait on that? Were you gonna roll that out later?
Well, the guy who represents Pearl Jam's label told me not to say anything about coming music. So
the guy who represents Pearl Jam's label said, "Don't say anything about any new music."
Yeah,
that's okay. Next. Right. Okay. You better listen to that guy who represents Pearl Jam's label. Yeah. Don't say anything.
So yeah. I'm not going to say anything. I'm going to abide by his wishes.
Right. Okay.
And as soon as we have some information, we'll pass that along.
Smart. That's why you're the program director. Yeah. Right. Yeah. You don't want to say anything about Pearl Jam's new music.
That's actually not what I was talking about, but that's okay.
Oh, you're talking about making a concert announcement on Monday?
Yeah.
Oh, it's even better.
I'm hoping that we'll have something soon, but I don't have anything concrete.
Okay. All right. Still working on getting the MMRQ information.
Yes.
So, all right. That's what I was curious about.
I whispered it.
You whispered the bad word.
He whispered the S word.
You do work here, right?
I just said the S word. And it was like, and I said it under, like, I knew I was kind of getting myself in trouble by the Pearl Jam.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, oh my, Thank you.
You should go now.
I know. Get out of here.
Santa's cold. Turn his mic off.
You didn't hear
cold medication. I got to go.
Santa's got to go.
He whispered the S word, the F word, and the N word, which was just...
No. And he's walking out of the studio.
Later, Annabelle.
Santa's got to go. Oh. Santa's on cold medication.
I'm going to see what Annabelle's up to.
It was like Tom Hanks at the awards ceremony.
Yeah,
no,
it was very funny. Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. He is on cold meds.
Red Hot Chili Peppers have been announced as one of the headliners of the 2020 Bottle Rock Festival, along with Dave Matthews Band and Stevie Nicks. This is a pretty interesting sounding lineup.
Bottle Rock?
Yeah, I'm not familiar.
Crank it up.
The event will be held May 22nd, 23rd, 24th at the Napa Valley Expo in Northern California.
There's your bottle thing.
Mm-hmm.
Wine bottle.
Other confirmed acts include Of Monsters and Men, Foals, and then it says in caps Billie Eilish, but then it says apostrophe S, brother. So Billie Eilish's brother, collaborator, and songwriter, Phineas. Mm. Jimmy Eat World, Milky Chance, a bunch of others are on board. Even the Village People are going to perform.
Wow.
And Miley Cyrus and so on and so forth. So it spans all kinds of genres. Yeah, it sounds kind of fun.
Dave Matthews has their own wine. I wonder if that has anything to do with it.
Maybe.
Dreaming Tree is what it's called.
The Chili Peppers will be performing with guitarist John Frusciante, so he will be there, who's returning to the band after a 10-year absence. The Los Angeles Quartet may also have a new album ready to promote, although the details of that remain uncertain for now. But it's not till May. Tickets for the Bottle Rock go on sale actually today at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So if you are interested,
that's the other ocean,
taking a trip. Yep, it's over there. It's 3 hours from now, actually, that they'll go on sale. So if you're interested, go for it. Out on Tuesday, today, is a new book. This sounds interesting. I'd like to read this. It's called Raising Hell, Backstage Tales from Metal Legends, in which some of the genre's most celebrated musicians recall stories of debauchery, wild shenanigans, and injuries resulting from the unpredictability and chaos that follows rockers on the road. So it's an injury story.
That would be very cool, yeah.
Some of the
I love stuff like that.
Artists interviewed for the book include members of Slipknot, Stone Sour, Slayer, Suicidal Tendencies, Pantera, Judas Priest, Anthrax, Ministry, Cradle of Filth, Megadeth, and more. Cradle of Filth? Wow. Okay. And all.
Good evening, everyone. We're Cradle of Filth. Thank you for coming out to the show tonight. We have a whole bunch of songs, and they're filthy.
All. Revealing tales of sex, drugs, painful injuries, criminal activities, and a lot of other things that you're not supposed to know about.
Before I was coming out here tonight, I was reading through the set list, and I cut my finger. Paper cut.
It was written by John Wiederhorn.
That's a name.
Wiederhorn!
Co-author of the popular tome Louder Than Hell, The Definitive Oral History of Metal. So that's coming up. Hey, this is a follow-up story, something that we were curious about yesterday. Chester Bennington's widow, Talinda, has set the record straight regarding her new marriage to Los Angeles County firefighter Michael Fredman. Contrary to previous reports, she and Fredman did not wed on New Year's Eve, which is the anniversary of her 2005 marriage to Chester, but they got married on January 4th.
All right.
So that clears
just
that
like
up.
Just like Annabelle.
She wrote online... With joy and love, I want to set something straight. On January 4th, I wed a wonderful man, great friend, and son this weekend. My anniversary with Chester wasn't my new wedding date. January 1st will always be the day I married Chester, and I would never paint over that day with anything else. So that's just cleared up. Marilyn Manson was joined by Linda Perry for an acoustic rendition of his Eurythmics cover, Sweet Dreams Are Made of This, on Saturday night in Los Angeles. That was at the benefit for the Art of Elysium charitable organization. The Foo Fighters. Dave got back together with the remaining members of Nirvana. Dave Grohl did. So,
yeah, Kurt held out.
Manson was a late addition to the show, which also included sets from L7, Cheap Trick, and Beck and others. So... Sweet Dreams was a massive hit for Manson back in 1995, but Linda Perry got up and sang it with him. And then one last thing, after teasing it over the weekend, Ozzy Osbourne has released the official music video for the song Straight to Hell. On the track is the second single from Ozzy's upcoming album, Ordinary Man, which will be released later this year. Marissa and I were watching it yesterday. Ozzy, he's just sitting down the whole
time. Is he?
Yeah. He's just, you know, he's trying to look as menacing and as Ozzy-like as he can, but he doesn't move from his seat. He's sitting on a bench, by the way. In the clip, he finds himself in the center of an anarchist protest. Ozzy sings the song as anarchists clash with riot police all around him. There is some humor in the clip as well, with protesters holding up signs like, "Now you've pissed off Grandma," and "Stop premature Christmas decorating." Straight to Hell features a guest appearance from Slash and follows up the first single from Ordinary Man, Under the Graveyard. And, of course, Ordinary Man is the first solo album in 10 years.
It's time for me. The reckoning has come. Could you get me a pillow and some English breakfast tea?
Wait, Nick just pulled up a story.
Yeah, this just hot off the presses.
Yes.
Ozzy's working on a song with Elton John.
Wow.
Okay, that could be interesting.
So apparently Sharon talks about this on The Talk, and because Elton was just at the Golden Globes, and they've been referring to the Golden Globes on that show, she's referencing that now Ozzy's going to be working with Elton.
Yeah, okay. That should be very, very interesting.
Wow, man, look at him. So
that's not now, is it?
That's now. That's a bad shot.
What, of Ozzy?
Ozzy, Jesus Christ.
His eyes wide open. Yeah,
yeah, you're not used to seeing him that way.
A little bit different. I don't know if that's from the Golden Globes or not. Was Ozzy at the Golden Globes?
I didn't see him there.
Elton looks older than that now.
How old is he, Ozzy, again?
70s?
I've forgotten. I don't know exactly.
70?
Early 70s.
Four?
If that is.
I don't know. I mean, if he's in his
70s. 71.
He doesn't look bad for 70.
No.
I mean, I'm sure he's had some work, but.
Yep.
Well, Sharon has had no work.
all right, and there you go. That's it. That's all I got music news for you, gang. Let's take a break, shall we, and come back. And we got to post a picture of Casey's campaign sign. It says, "Casey, support me and my bad decisions. Your Whorehouse 2020 president." Whorehouses in every county, it says here.
A whorehouse on every corner.
I love it. All right, we're going to break. We're going to come back in a moment. We'll get the letter of the day for the word of the week. Stay close, because that's next.
93.3 WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Totally Office Calendar 2020. Shot on location at the Met, Philadelphia. 12 magnificent months featuring the most gorgeous girls and our loveliest listeners. On sale now for just $15 in the MMR Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Order by this Friday to have it in time for the holidays, or get your hands on a free copy at an upcoming calendar raid while meeting the girls and members of the show. Details at WMMR.com. 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Today has been fun, but I need to take a phone call. Hang on a second. I have Brian. Hey, Brian, how you doing?
Pretty good. How are you?
Good. Why are you calling?
I thought I heard a sound, and it's Tuesday.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
And heard it.
It was 100% an accident.
And we don't have any prizes to give away.
Yes,
we don't.
I'm sure. Listen, Yards is a good friend of the show. I'm sure we can hook you up with a case of beer.
All right, hang on a second, Brian. We'll set you up with a case of beer, okay?
You deserve it.
I actually don't drink.
All right. All right. Well, you can give it to somebody.
All right.
Sounds good. Hang on a second.
We'll get him something.
Yeah, Steve, what were you doing?
That was it.
I know, but what were you doing?
I was moving a cord, and it hit it. So,
and it's funny because it's, I didn't even hear it.
Yes, because it's more, it's sort of a wider.
It's not direct
right up
front. Kaboom. So there you go. Hey, if it's a Tuesday and it's during a song, it counts.
We live by it.
Secret sounder. That's all there is to it. Let me see. Hey, one of our interns is leaving.
Oh!
Before I thank our guests and before we get you your letter of the day and all of that stuff, we are saying goodbye to...
Can't be happening.
A young lady. Her name is Mary Beth, and it's her last day today. Mary Beth, get over here. Get over here to the microphone.
Lower it down there.
Pull that down a little bit, and you can put the headphones on as well. Casey's playing this music for you. Because a lot of people don't know, Mary Beth was the class clown.
I was.
In high school?
Archbishop Wood, class of 2016.
Okay.
Class clown.
Nice. All right. Yeah, you're cracking us up all the time. Right now. You seem so quiet.
Yeah, I can't picture you. I am really quiet. Case actually called me out one day after the show in the studio.
I'm sure when you're more comfortable around people, you
joke around.
You joke around. Yeah. You open up. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we're kind of intimidating, not on purpose, but
because of our manly Musk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I love about Mary Beth, though, is, and I'm not going to put you, I hope I don't put you on the spot, is Mary Beth blushes.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yes. And when Casey said that, her face just turned purple. And it was adorable.
I can feel myself turning.
You can feel a little, a little bit. It's adorable. It is adorable. So what's your college story? Are you still a student or have you graduated yet?
Yeah, okay. A senior at Temple, going into my last semester right now, and I'm graduating in May.
Okay.
Yes. Your focus, radio mostly, or what are you looking at?
Yeah, radio, broadcast writing, production side of things.
Okay.
I like the behind the scenes stuff a lot, so.
Yeah.
Have you gotten to dabble in a little bit of production while you've been here? Or
Did the clips, going to keep doing the clips after I'm done.
Okay.
So, yeah.
Nice.
Well, good.
And, now you've been at some of our events. I think you were at, were you at the Christmas Miracle?
Didn't get to Christmas
You're
Miracle.
You're definitely at Camp Out.
But I did I went to Camp Out and I did the blood drive back in June.
Cool.
Like when I first started here.
Nice. Yeah. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so happy I got this opportunity to be here. So it's been really fun.
Any celebs come through while you're here that you thought were cool?
David Harbour.
Yeah, man. Yeah. That was cool.
It's a good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Mark Maron, too.
Mark Maron.
All right. Excellent. All right. Well, listen, you've been a great help. And,
yes.
We love the fact that you had time to be here, and sorry you had to get up so early in the morning, but we appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys so much.
No
this
problem.
Was, like, the best time of my life and my college experience.
We love to hear that.
Cool.
Yeah. We got to get you out of here because I'm laughing too hard. I can't handle it.
Sides hurt.
Thank you. Mary Beth, good luck with everything. We have such great interns, man. Everybody here is so cool.
Couldn't do it without them.
No,
absolutely.
I was talking to, earlier I mentioned to Joe Mantegna about the behind the scenes people, and in television shows like that, they're huge crews and nobody ever gets, recognized publicly for that. And it's like that with the interns around here. They do so much absolutely necessary work. And there's a lot of it that happens after the show's over. These guys stay around and they archive stuff. They get the pieces of audio and information that we need together for
us. You got a podcast ready?
Yeah, all those things. So it's important. We couldn't give it to you in this form without their help. So it's really cool. Thank you to Joe Mantegna, by the way.
Yay!
Criminal Minds, it's 15th and final season premieres tonight. It says tomorrow.
Tomorrow night.
It said tonight. Oh, yeah, tomorrow's Wednesday. You're right. A 2-hour episode starting at 9 p.m. on CBS. So, very cool. Thank you. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man, how you doing?
Yo, ho.
You okay, man?
No, I'm a little under the weather.
I saw you yesterday in passing. I went by the studio and saw you with your head hanging low. And I didn't get a chance to talk to you since we've been back. So I just thought you were hanging over. I thought you were hurting.
That had been the previous week, but that led in, that accelerated a cold into a serious cold.
A lot of people are sick, just like a normal, like a head cold, right?
Oh, it was like this hacking thing.
Right.
And,
do you have the chills?
No, well, I did one day, but then that went away. But we got a saying in sports, you got to play hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
You got to play hurt.
Coach taught you that, right?
No, I taught it myself.
Oh, you did? Sorry.
I made up the,
you made it up?
I made it up.
I didn't know.
I tell it to all the teams.
Okay.
And I had a crazy week between Christmas and New Year's because I had 5 shows in a row. On the 27th, I had Government Mule. With Warren Haynes and the Allman Betts Band, which is an amazing band, by the way, featuring the sons of Greg Allman, Dickie Betts, and Barry Oakley Jr. of the Allman Brothers Band, who played 2 sets at the Met, and then followed by a 17-hour set by Warren Haynes and Government Mule. not kidding, but Warren plays a long time. And so that was the 27th. Then 2 nights with the Struts, one of which you were at, Nick, the 28th.
And Kathy was at the
next night. the lovely Kathy Romano came out. We got a great picture.
We did.
Did we post that?
I did, yes. I posted it on my Instagram.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. Kathy and I got a great picture. She's wearing sparkly stuff, and I have my sparkly boots on for Luke. So that was 28th and 29th. Then the Greta Van Fleet show on the 30th. Then the record company at the TLA on the New Year's Eve. And so I was at all those shows and hosting those shows. And then New Year's Day on TV on Channel 17.
I saw you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why they have me is anybody's guess. God, I don't know.
You were extra sparkly for that.
I was quite sparkly. And then running up and down Broad Street, which is like a big, you know, giant party. And then starting my three martini dinners. And then, so I had such a fun time. And then it all fell apart the next day.
Yeah.
And I started getting really sick.
Yep. You pushed it a little hard. It happens sometimes. But hey, man, it's the price you pay. You got to play hurt.
Yeah.
You got to play hurt. And if you play like I do, if you play the sports the way I play the sports.
Yeah. Right now, you look like the in every show where the kids discover a hermit who turns out to be friendly. You know, like you look like you're a little hard right now, a little living hard, so.
I feel like Hagrid from Harry Potter.
It's probably, a cool look, though. It's a very rustic look.
I don't feel, but I'm just going to nail it.
Yeah, man.
That's what I'm going to
nail it.
Yeah, sometimes the greatest things come from this.
That's exactly my point, kids.
Yes, your sports background is what I do.
That's when you pull it out of where you had it, and you didn't know you had it until you found it because you went to the basement and uncovered it.
Always best to pull it out.
Wait till the crowd thins out. Yeah.
Wait till the police are away.
All right, let's uncover the letter. You ready?
Ready.
Right. Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve show has been brought to you today by the letter.
L is in Larry.
All right, fair enough. We're going to give away, this is brought to you
by
the
laughing at?
Newly renamed Valley Tower at Valley Forge Casino Resort. The winner will receive an overnight stay, dinner for two, and two tickets to an upcoming show. Must be 21 years of age or older. New name, same great place. Valley Tower at Valley Forge Casino Resort, where the house is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Oh, my. I thought he was going to throw up.
It's the worst.
He spun around to cough. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Here
we go.
That's Gary Lauer.
That's Gary. Listen to this one more time. Here we go. Let's go back to that. Just disgusting.
So many great moments with Gary.
Oh, dude, don't. Oh, God almighty.
That's not
that was generated after his communion.
Oh.
All right. What is happening
on the program today? Yeah. Well, we'll have a workforce block of Hailstorm and a workforce block of Queen and Dire Straits. And we got our Easy Money contest coming up at 11 a.m. and again at 1 p.m. and Jackson at 4 and 6 p.m. for possibilities of $1,000.
Nice.
Rock on.
Let's see. I want to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Acme Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, the official supermarket of the Preston and Steve Show. Also brought to you by Villanova's College of Professional Studies. Pursue the next you, and also by...
What are you laughing at?
I'll tell you in a minute. By Virtua, when you put your back in our expert hands, Penn Medicine and Virtua Health, put an active life back in yours. I got a text that says, Preston always sounds so damned annoyed during this transition. It's just trying to navigate
everyone,
Mr. Robert, and move through this. I love him to death. Love him more than anything in the world.
There's a lot of ice in the water. And you're running the ship, baby, so you got to watch
There's
out.
There's some bergs in there.
There's some bergs.
All right. Tomorrow on the program, we have Fox Good Day for a Wednesday, and Kevin Crowley of the Philadelphia Wings will be in the studio. Yeah, they're getting ready for their home opener on Friday. That's it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Live.
Dry January, my ass. Drink, people. It's cold out. What else is there to do? Drink.
Next message.
Yeah, I would like to thank President Steve for giving me the idea to make Florida scammers just as annoyed as they annoy me by saying, Florida man, Florida man. Thanks again, guys.
Next message.
You, this place, it's 8 o'clock in the morning and I'm sitting in traffic. Can I just go to home?
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.